Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who puts out factorials of podcasts every single week. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hey, everybody. How are you doing here as we talk about the Survivor merge? And here with me to kick off the show today is the first lady of podcasting, Nicole's sister. Nicole, how are you?
I am good.
Nicole, happy to have you up here for a little bit, till we get to talking with Kellen Bechtold here on today's podcast. Very excited to catch up with Kellen at the Survivor merge. And Nicole, how are you feeling as we enter the merge here in Survivor David versus Goliath?
Well, I'm a little upset that my made the merge, but not the jury didn't happen.
Yes, Nicole did predict somebody would make the merge, but not make the jury. Kind of a crazy prediction to make. It did not come true.
Yeah.
Okay, but Nicole's winner pick, Dan, still alive out there.
Still alive.
Still hanging. Are you feeling okay about him? His name got thrown out last night.
But he saved himself.
I guess.
I'm trying to be positive.
Okay. Two idols.
He has two idols. Not sure if he knows how to use them.
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hanging in there in his pants.
What does that mean?
His idols.
Okay. All right. Try to keep it together. All right. I try to keep this a serious show.
No, you don't.
Somewhat serious.
He put them in his pants. I didn't put him there.
Okay. Nicole, we have had some great podcasts already. Steven and I got into everything on the Survivor Know-It-Alls about that vote. What did you think was going to happen at the Tribal Council?
It was kind of crazy, but I was pretty sure that Elizabeth was going home.
You felt confident.
Mostly because I was spoiled on Twitter.
You were yes, okay. So that'll help. That'll do it. I spoke with Elizabeth this morning on the Exit Interview podcast, and I thought that she was, she was really fired up.
Yeah, I bet.
She was really fired up. I didn't get a chance to ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
She was just, she was kind of shot out of a cannon. And
you love that.
I love it. But, I had more questions that I wanted to get to. So I feel like that I didn't get into everything I wanted to talk about with Elizabeth.
OK, well, then you just got to invite her back on.
Well, I would love to. I mean, I think that she was a big character on the show. I thought that she was very fun. And she is who she is.
Mm-hmm.
While I don't think that is the best in terms of gameplay, I appreciate that in my TV characters.
Absolutely.
I don't feel like that she's trying to necessarily give you something that she's not. And mm-hmm. and that's, good casting in finding Elizabeth and getting her on the show. But did rub some people the wrong way. Carl especially. Mm-hmm. Seemed like the not a ton of love lost between Elizabeth and Carl.
Yeah.
Who was my winner pick.
I mean, he's looking okay.
He's hanging in there. He's hanging in there.
He's kind of drunk last night, no?
Yeah. Well, I thought that you could relate to that.
Being drunk. I was drinking some wine last night when I was watching.
Yeah. And Carl, he had a couple of beers and then started telling everybody that would listen, hey, let's vote out Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
But which ultimately did go, as Elizabeth said, a little bit of poison goes a long way.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the podcast, I will be speaking with the Mayo Jar.
Ooh la la.
Nick Majorano will be here. I don't know why you have to say that. Nick Majorano is going to be here to get into all of the feedback from Survivor's first episode after the merge.
Nick was a big help in your birthday Amazing Race.
He was? Why? What did he do?
I was in correspondence with him throughout the entire time. He really helped.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he was really Nick. Enthusiastic
very,
about it.
Very excited to have him back here for a podcast. My original idea was I wanted Nick to come up here and host a podcast with me, like to co-host him, and then we would talk to a guest.
Uh-huh.
But then I felt like that the guest would be offended of that they had to share their podcast with Nick.
Why is everybody getting offended these days?
I don't know. maybe we'll find a guest somewhere down the road that says, hey, I don't mind being, having a joint interview between you and Nick.
I bet if it was a woman and if it was video, they wouldn't mind being interviewed by Nick.
I don't know. I don't think you should speak for all women on that. you might be on an island with that one. So we'll see. I'll talk about it tomorrow on the feedback show with Nick. But we're going to call Kellen in just a moment. But first, I want to thank our sponsor here for the podcast. And that's why I need Nicole here to help me talk about what is going on over at forhers.com. It's a new women's wellness brand delivering prescription skincare products customized for you. you straight to your door. Nicole, no more taking time out of your day for another in-person doctor's appointment or long pharmacy line. For Hers connects you online with licensed doctors who can prescribe you prescription products customized for you, delivered straight to your door. But is this a, do you have to go to a lot of doctors for skincare?
I go to the dermatologist quite a bit.
Yeah.
I suffer from adult acne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a little older.
Mm-hmm. I haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where ForHers.com comes in, because at every age, skin begins to adjust. Hers is dedicated to supporting women at each stage of their life so that skin concerns can become a no-brainer.
Totally. I'm still waiting to see my dermatologist. I made an appointment about a month ago because I had a adult acne breakout, and I'm still waiting. It's not until next week, but if I used Hers, I would have taken a picture of my skin, sent it to them, a doctor would have reviewed it, and then written a prescription.
And the offer that For Hers has for you is that you can get a trial month of a customized anti-aging kit from Hers for 20% off right now while supplies last. So if you want to check out that link, that's For, F-O-R, Hers.com/Rob or Hers.com/Rob. Wrinkles, sunspots, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, acne, melasma. These are all concerns that can be addressed with science. Products with active ingredients found at the dermatologist's office. Do I need this?
No, you have perfect skin.
Okay, well, Nicole.
It really sucks when dudes just like they wake up and that's it. And they go about their day, and what they look like when they wake up is what just what
Nicole,
they look like.
Please. It's not about me. We're talking about ForHers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Get that trial month of the customized anti-aging kit from Hers. 20% off right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or the pharmacy. Is that right?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Go to ForHers.com/Rob. That's ForHers.com/Rob.
Have I ever told you my embarrassing dermatology story?
Is it a quick one? All right, we got to call Kellen.
It's really quick.
Okay.
I went to the dermatologist's office and I took Anthony with me. And
is this Dr. Tadoff?
No, that was a different time.
Okay.
Actually. And he was like 1.5 at that point. And the bathroom was very close to the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the bathroom from the waiting room. And I got up and, you know, I had to pee. So I got up and I took him with me and I sat down to pee, and I see Anthony walking over to the door, and he's got this grin on his face. He unlocks the door, opens it, runs out screaming, "Mama can't catch me!" And then everybody is in the waiting room, sees me on the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't catch you.
All right. Just another reason why it makes sense to avoid the doctor's visit to get a prescription filled. All right, Nicole, thank you so much. Thank you for oversharing once again.
Was that TMI?
I mean, it was something. Thank you, Nicole.
I'm just kidding. It never hurt.
That happened to your friend?
It was, yeah.
Okay. All right, Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this woman back to the podcast to talk about everything going on here at The Merge. She is a longtime Survivor fan and longtime RHAP listener, and here she is from Survivor Ghost Island. Please welcome back the great Kellen Bechtold. Kellen, how are you?
Heyo, Robbio.
Heyo, Robbio.
Yes. Yes. Kellen, how are you?
I'm here. You guys, I only had to leave like 17 repetitive messages on Rob's voicemail to get to come and do feedback this season, and it worked.
Well, this isn't the feedback show.
Wait. What's this one called? The recap. Oh, the recap.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Did you want to do the feedback show? This is now I'm lost in the weeds with all the survivors and what they want to do.
I actually felt honored. I called it the wrong thing. I was actually talking to Brother Clay, who some of you know. And I was like, I don't even think I'm doing the voice. And I was like, I think I'm doing the recap show. Like, I think that means that he likes me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so, that doesn't mean I don't honored. Like you if you do the feedback show. There's so many misconceptions.
Well, okay. I would also love to do the voicemails because I would love to hear from the fans too. Both are great. Both are fun. They're different. One is not better than the other. Everyone.
That's right. Randy Bailey. Yes.
Yes, Randy. I think I got to do voicemails at the end of my recap of Ghost Island or whatever. There's another special word.
Yeah, we did like a season retrospective. Yeah, we must have got some voicemails and questions then. And we have a lot of questions from the audience, but, you know, it's not technically the feedback show that we're going to do that tomorrow with Nick Majorano. But it's all about you.
He's hilarious.
Yeah,
Nick, he's so fun.
He should be a lot of fun. Well, you know, your mileage may vary with Nick Majorano, but I like him. Okay.
My mileage is, I met him once and it was so fun.
Okay.
He seems like a fun person to party with.
Okay. All right. But let's talk about you and what's going on. And I can't wait to talk about this episode with you. But first, so give us the update. What are you up to these days, Callan?
Well, I moved to Denver. Well, after I got back from the show last summer, I like just goofed around for a while. And then ended up landing in Denver, getting a new job. And under the radar, I don't know how like timing with all this works. I think I'm getting a promotion at work, which not everyone knows about yet. So
okay.
If you're a Survivor fan and it's a small company, we'll see how many of them hear this. So I'm getting a promotion at work really soon, which is great. I love my job.
Is this an official press release?
This is the official press release right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm excited about that. And I'm loving Denver. It's like a super, well, Gabby, as we know, season 37, Gabby used to live in Denver. She moved out a couple months ago. So great Survivor women, you know, living in Denver. I'm doing more things outdoors. I was in Chicago before. The sun shines all the time here. People are really fun. So I'm loving being in Denver. Love my new job. It's great. And just really settling into like post-Survivor life, which is crazy. It started like 2 years ago.
Boy, Kelly, you're sounding like a real Goliath these days.
You know, I am a David, maybe turned Goliath, post-Survivor.
Yes. Okay. And how are you enjoying this season of Survivor? Now you're back to watching it as a fan.
This season is honestly insane. Like, I love it. I haven't felt this great about a season since, I don't know, probably like Ko Rang time. Like the people this season, I feel like somehow they're letting them tell their story. You feel like you really know each person. I don't know how they're doing it. And maybe I'm biased because I see them more as whole people instead of just an edit because I've played now. But I don't know. The characters I'm loving, like Natalie was amazing. Like even Pat, who was there just the first episode, like I felt like I got to know him and how much it meant to him to like have to be pulled from the game and stuff. I don't know. They're killing it this season.
Well, tell me, Callan, now, is it frustrating or irritating at all? Because there's been a lot of hype about this season in terms of the fan response, where there's been a lot of people saying like, oh, this is the best season in quite some time. And do you feel a little bit slighted like, hey,
I don't. I feel like I agree. I don't. First of all, no edit, no season. I don't care if this may sound harsh, but I don't care if no one ever remembers Ghost Island. Like, I got to go out and play Survivor and made it 35 days and have all of those memories. So that almost feels completely separate from this love of 37. I think we all, the people who I've talked to from Ghost Island have loved watching this season. It's so fun. People are just playing super hard. It's not super predictable, I don't think. And you're getting to know the characters. I think that, I don't know how much to talk about editing, but I think the editing is just really a lot better this season, where there are multiple storylines and you're really getting to know people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because like the theme, it helps your like mind reference who people are, and then it makes it easier to remember them because you're like, oh, that's a David and this is their story as a David. But I don't know, do you feel like you're getting to know them more.
Well, I feel like that in your season, I felt like that we did get to know some of the people very well. And, you know, it's so funny that one tribal council where it was split, it was like the people that we kind of, you know, got to know in the post-merge were all on one tribe. And then the people that were really sort of underdeveloped as characters all ended up on the other side. And this season, I don't think you really could do that where, you know, okay, like these are the five people that have all the airtime, and then here are these other, you know, five or six people that we know nothing about. They've done a really good job where even Allison was the person that we were like, oh, that's the, you know, purple Allison. And she really was all over this episode. And so it's really hard to come up with somebody that we don't know anything about.
Yeah, it's and like who else, like Davey, we didn't hear much from this week, but we have
but there's 13 people at the merge. You know, it's hard for everybody to get something.
Yeah, but you really feel, I still feel like I know Davey and can imagine what it's like to live with him out there, even though he wasn't in this particular episode. So I think they're doing a great job. I love the storylines. I mean, there are some people on the show that are going to be, I thought I would never know a Survivor quote unquote character again. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it would just be forever different. Like watching HHH when I got back that my season hadn't aired yet. It was just like, I didn't feel like I saw them as characters of Survivor people that I would remember as survivors. They were just more people. But this season, they're just like Christian. Oh my gosh. Can we talk about Christian? Like,
please.
I love every single moment he is on my television. Mm-hmm. And like, there are a few people like that. Like, I want to hear more from Carl. Like, Carl was hilarious. Like, oh, I just can't wait to have a beer. Like, oh,
Carl
my gosh,
loves beer.
Like, Carl loves beer, and you know that now, you know. And Elizabeth, I was so sad to see her go, but I don't know, I just love these people. I want to be friends with them. Some of them annoy the hell out of me and I don't want to be friends with them, but I'm sure they're great in real life. But still, there are more people, there are more controversial people, I think, on on this season than there has been in a really long time, and I love it.
What do you mean by controversial?
Controversial, like some people will be like, oh, Elizabeth, amazing. She uses word like in her exit press, she was like, ah, that's just malarkey. And like, she has this southern accent and she has this full on personality. And some people can love that. And some people, like Carl, are like, oh, that is enough of that lady for me. Or like Mayor of Slamtown. A lot of people seem to really like him and like looking at him. I, on the other hand, I'm like, I've kind of had enough.
Oh,
enough of the mayor of Slamtown, enough of Friday night delight. I'll have different delights on my Friday night. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I take it that on Tuesday, you did not vote for the mayor of Slamtown to be reelected.
I did not. No. No. The whole like coming up to the merge feast and being, and I really told myself I wasn't going to talk shit when I came on here or talk smack when I came on here.
Look, it comes with the territory. You heard everybody talk about you on your season. I invite all of these Survivor 37 contestants to, if they so choose, come and talk about future seasons of Survivor. And again, we all know you are talking about the one dimensional character that you see for 42 minutes a week and not the actual person.
Exactly. And John is like an actual character.
Yes.
Like, I'm not even talking about not only is he like a Survivor character, he's like a character. There's like three levels. So I'm like three safe levels.
It's like Inception.
Talking about him as a person. It's Inception. Yes. It is like annoyed fan Inception. I'm sure some people love it, but when he was like, oh, I've been counting my macros and there's probably 112 432 calories on this table.
Factorials.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah. Okay. What, you didn't look at the merge feast in terms of how many calories were out there?
No. I did not. I didn't. I just enjoyed it. Looked to see who was sitting by who, tried to find an advantage, you know, just did the normal merge thing. I wasn't worried about gaining weight or muscle or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about the actual vote from this week where Elizabeth went home. Kellen, were you thinking that Elizabeth had flipped this whole thing around on Wednesday night?
Well, the moment that when she and Gabby were having that conversation and they started to bring it up and they're like, oh, we should do this. And then they said, oh, we should do it at tribal council. And I thought, oh, no.
You knew.
Yeah. I mean, I still had hope as I was watching. The lovely Gabby, hope is not a strategy, but I still had hope that maybe something was going to go up. And I was trying to look to see how surprised the Goliaths were when the conversation came up, like to try and read their faces, because we don't know what happened right between when Elizabeth first finds out and how much time that really is between that and when they walk into tribal. And so I was trying to figure out, like, do they know that Elizabeth has been told that it's her? And some of them started, like, Dan looked pretty surprised. Some of their faces looked pretty shocked. So I was like, oh, well, probably, I don't know. It felt like there wasn't that much of a shot for them to get it worked out since they were going to wait till tribal.
Okay, so let me talk this through. And I know not everybody listens to the exit press. And I can tell by in terms of like how many podcasts get downloaded and more people listen to this than they do the exit interview. So if anybody doesn't listen to the exit interview, when I asked Elizabeth about the timetable of, you know, how did this all go down? She said that Angelina spoke with her right before tribal council. So I think that she was, you know, you can tell where the survivors are sort of feel like that they've been, the edit's gotten it not quite right and people are confused, but there was not time to really blow it up at the camp, according to what she was telling me. And because it was so close, it was like minutes before they were going to that tribal council. And what she said was that it was everybody was on board, that everybody was talking and she was getting up and she was talking to people and the Goliaths were talking to. We saw Alec and Dan get up in the episode, but she had said that Carl very loudly said, no, we're not doing this. No way. No way, Elizabeth. And then that was that. And then once Carl said, you know, very loudly, he was not doing it, then that's when everybody who was on board with that folded. So they weren't part of this hopeless cause. And that's why it was a 12-1 vote.
Well, if you think of, I mean, you try to think about how do people have the motivation? Why would they switch at this point? It's not them. It's that first, I was having flashbacks, you know, back to our first merge vote. And it's like, you really just don't want it to be you because it's the first time where you have to totally reset. You have this mindset of being an individual in the game and you really want to see where tribal lines are. Like, okay, who are we actually staying Goliath? Are we actually staying David? What's going to be the truth here? Who's going to vote where? And I think it may be the strongest time where people are like, just not me, just not me, just not me, because everyone's not in their footing. And so I don't know. And there's still a ton of people left. No one was feeling super close. Like Elizabeth is my number one. And so no one really has motivation to jump ship after there had been a decision made. So it's really hard. And I saw Dom tweeted today, like, don't go to tribal thinking you're going to change anything there, because it's really hard, I think, to get things to change.
Yeah.
Still, though, good on Elizabeth and good on Gabby for just throwing it out there. And especially Elizabeth just being like, I'm not going down without a fight, you know. So I was so proud of her as a fan and just loved watching her fight till her torch was snuffed all the way through.
You know, Kellen, I was thinking about your final tribal council in the game, not the day 39 final tribal council, but when you were going out, and that I recall you having a similar fire on your way out of the game.
Well, so the funny thing is I was like really defeated in a way going in. But then when I heard them talking about that, they were going to split the vote. Then I was like doing the math to figure out if I could still get Donathan to throw his vote on Dom and I voted for Donathan, then I could tie it. I do remember being like, I'm just going to do whatever it takes. What I wish I would have done is after it was tied and Jeff says, we're going to revote, I just sat there in silence. I didn't say a word. And I wonder what if I would have turned around to Sebastian and been like, see, they're telling you what to do. They told you it wasn't going to be me tonight and it is, or they, you know, I don't know. So I love that Elizabeth spoke up. I wonder why. I know I have empathy for people who don't do it, don't speak up as much, like as they're headed out, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish that I would have known that I was going to be voted out in Survivor All-Stars, because I would have really caused a scene, and it may not have changed the result, but I'm sure it is, you know, a more satisfying feeling to go out of the game and have at least your chance to speak your piece and tell everybody off. So in a way, I do feel like that, you know, Angelina did do Elizabeth a kindness, but do you think that ultimately Angelina's goal was to get the jury vote from Elizabeth?
No.
Okay. All right. Now we're onto something. Okay. So what do you think was the purpose of Angelina having that conversation with Elizabeth?
I think Angelina was having a little bit of a, which I can relate to, a little bit of a control issue. Like, she had decided, she had said, they had made this decision. Elizabeth needed to go. Everyone kind of agreed with her. And then she came back. And who was it sitting there? John and who else? Where they were like, well, we changed our mind. Was it John and Alec?
Yeah.
Trying to picture. Yeah.
Well, here, let me give the timeline on this, because I've watched the episode three times now. Okay. So.
Well, you're better off than me.
Well, this is, you know, we've recorded this, you know, later on in the day. So I've watched this much. So last night, I misspoke on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, where I said that she should have at least, you know, talked this through with everybody before they had the All Goliath meeting. So there's a scene earlier in the episode where she actually first says Christian. Then after after Alec outs Elizabeth as being the target, then they in the All Goliath meeting, they come up with that it's going to be Elizabeth, even though she is saying that it should be Christian. And then it sort of comes back to that, OK, we're going to go with Elizabeth. We don't like what Angelina wants to do here. And so that's ultimately when they break the news to her that it's going to be Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, she's made a few mistakes here, right? Like, you could read the room that when she brought up Christian, people were not on board.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty obvious that people didn't want that. And it's so hard, because I know in her mind, she's like, I'm right. Like, Christian needs to go more than Elizabeth needs to go. More people like Christian. He's more of a threat. Like, why can't we get him out?
And she is right, by the way. I just want to also.
Yeah, exactly right. She is exactly right. And so then when people don't go with that, it has to be frustrating. And when you make the assumption that you know what's best for other people and you don't listen to what they want, you listen to what you think they need, you get into big, big doo-doo there. And then when they tell her, like, hey, we've changed our mind, we are still going with Elizabeth. And John says, like, do you need to talk about it? And she should have said, no, I trust you guys. Mm-hmm. She should have swallowed her pride when she made him get up and go on this walk. And then on that walk, I wrote it down. What did she say? She said, I disagree, but I'll do it. And then she doubled down and said, and now I don't feel safe with you guys.
Yeah.
Because you changed it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Like, it was just so many bad misreads of the people she was with. And I can empathize with that, because in some ways she is doing the smart, strategic thing, but she's really missing the emotional intelligence part of it. And I get the sense that she does have emotional intelligence and makes friends in real life and all this stuff. But it seems like she's really just trying to go so hard on strategy that she's missing that ultimately it's a group of people who have to love and care about you. And it's just like, I just felt bad for her, like not being able to keep both of those things together at once. That's the essence of Survivor, though.
Yeah. No, I think you're really onto something. And I feel like that it's a subtle distinction where Survivor is not the same as real life, because Angelina, I'm sure, is somebody who is cut out great for success in business or whatever, because you don't always have to build a consensus. Like, if you are the manager of something and you have the right idea, that you can, you know, have just a sheer force of will and get things done, but that isn't the way that this game works, and you need to get everybody enrolled in what you're trying to do if you want to be able to get through all of these votes and have this, you know, group of people that's really invested in seeing you do well and sticking around.
Yeah, she just had a really, really rough night. Yeah, it was a really rough night for Angelina. I understood her frustration, and I understood. So I think we started, if we go back to what you originally asked me, which was Angelina trying to get a jury vote?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I don't think so is because I think she was reacting to losing control. I don't think she was saying, oh, I've got this. I just got them to switch from Christian to Elizabeth. And I've got this. Now I'm going to go, as Elizabeth walks out the door, I'm going to go tell her, like, oh, by the way, this wasn't my idea, so you should still vote for me. Like, I saw her being in a bit of a spiral. And how I could see that is because I've done that myself mm-hmm. on Survivor. So I'm not judging her. I just don't think it was a calculated jury vote move. Is that what other people are saying? I haven't had time to listen to other people's feedback.
The consensus has been, at least in the tribal council, and certainly what Elizabeth believed, was that Angelina was trying to get her jury vote. And I watched that scene a few times now, and Angelina is sort of standing at the edge of the path. Like, she's like down the path. She's waiting for Elizabeth to walk down there. She's holding a coconut in her hand. So the editing almost makes it seem like she goes from being all, you know, upset about being told that Elizabeth is the vote, and then going off to go, and like, it seems like she storms off to go tell Elizabeth. But she seemed calculated in that moment, in that she's sort of waiting for Elizabeth to walk down. I don't know if she had said, like, hey, I need to go talk to you, and sort of like went around the corner for her to come down. So I feel like that's more in line with that. Okay, this is, she has a purpose for what she's doing, and it wasn't like they were just having a conversation and she happened to blurt that out. So I think that she wanted the jury vote is the simplest explanation, but I can't say for sure.
That's totally fair. She has shown that she is always thinking about the game. Yes. She's very strategic. I mean, it is definitely. I did see somewhere of like, so maybe I don't even remember where I saw it looking through stuff, but somebody said like, well, no, it wasn't a human moment from Angelina. She hasn't been human the whole time.
Okay. Yes. That's from that Jeff Probst does his weekly interview with Dalton Ross, and Angelina at Tribal Council said that, no, she was just having an authentic human moment. And that's where that came from. And then Jeff Probst ended up saying with Dalton Ross, when he was asked about that, he said that he doesn't think that Angelina has had a genuine human moment in the entire time that she's been on the show, and speaking to that, she is you know, playing the game so hard. Let me see if I can find that quote from Jeff that he said that I don't think that Angelina has had a single raw human moment. And let me be clear, that is not a criticism or suggesting she lacks empathy. It's a testament to how hard she's playing. So I do think that she is, you know, super calculated, you know, down to I am going to vote for Lyrsa, even though I'm getting out Natalie because I'm trying to get her jacket.
Fair. Fair.
Huh. It's interesting.
Yeah, I did watch her. There were tears welling up in her eyes. She was having emotional reactions.
A tribal council?
Throughout the game. Well, a little bit when she was on the path. Like, mm-hmm. She looked like she was upset. I don't know when that was. It's just her on the path, right? And it is, they do show it right before Elizabeth comes down the path, but I don't know if it's a complete scene. Mm-hmm. But it's in between that walk she took with John and then when she's talking to Elizabeth, and she does look frustrated, I would say, a little bit emotional. And then, yeah, I mean, at Tribal, right? I mean, isn't she kind of she's emotionally reacting?
Yes, yes. Her life in the game is flashing before her eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Man, I guess we're just speculating here.
That's what we do. Yeah, we don't know.
That's what we do.
We weren't there.
So I don't know. First of all, I would freaking love it if she was just like, I'm a baller, badass. I've got this in the bag. And not only that, I'm going to put my vote in that lady's bag as she walks out.
Yeah.
If that's what she was doing, I admire that a lot.
To be fair, she did ultimately get there. She did say, I will have no issue whatsoever with voting for Elizabeth tonight. And then I did like that when she ultimately did turn it around to, you know, no, I don't feel bad anymore. I hope everybody joins me to vote out Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah. And she did. She managed through that. I mean, even though she had made a lot of mistakes and it just was not great, she managed
she got through it
fairly well. Yeah. She got through being called out. Everyone, I'm sure in that moment, she felt like, oh my gosh, I just have single-handedly pissed everyone off here. It'll be interesting to see, you know, her game. If she comes back and has a strong week next week, that's going to just show a lot. A lot.
Kellen, so I want to talk about this issue that came up with Angelina and Dan trying to talk about which person should be the target, because I wanted to know if it was anything like at a couple different points in the season where, you know, you had the Navidi alliance with Dominic and Wendell, and there were points where there were disagreements about, okay, we are an alliance, who should the alliance target? And you got into it with Dominic. There was the point where you had the split tribal council where you're trying to get on the same page with Wendell about who the target is going to be. How do people in the same alliance, you know, come together and keep the alliance when there's a disagreement about who to target and keep the alliance strong moving forward based on what you learned in your season?
Well, I don't know how the frick Dom and Wendell just got us to do whatever they wanted all the time. I mean, I know how I was playing it was in the time where it didn't go my way was wanting Michael out. And I felt like, are you kidding me? Like Michael is a longer term threat and there's more of a chance that you want to. It's just such a struggle thing. Like it's a power thing. Angelina is saying, no, Christian is a bigger threat to me because he's working with you. And so how people do it subtly, like, and then Alec and Dan like got up and talked during tribal and then they made whatever decision they were going to make. How the people who are controlling the vote in an alliance do that, I'm not sure. The only thing I can experience that is in the pre-merge when Bradley and I were really deciding what we wanted to happen and then waiting for the moment for the other people to like say that's the idea. And then we would jump on it and be like, yeah, 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 that's it. You're right. That's what we should do. So I guess, but I don't know. I don't know how did Dom and Wendell just get to decide for all of us? And how are, what do you say, Alec and Dan,
yeah,
calling the shots here?
Well, that's a little bit of a different question than where I was trying to get to, but that's also very interesting to me. But I was just more interested to know if you had any thoughts on how do you settle your differences and keep your ally?
Well, you've got to give in about 100 breaths earlier than you want to give in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it more important to get out the right target or is it more important to keep the alliance?
I think it's probably more important to keep the alliance, realize you don't have the power and make the move to find a new alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, right? You know, stay at the table for another round. And
yes,
then as opposed to, you know, get a hole in your boat. There's a lot of metaphors coming right now, you know, where now, okay, now you're sort of, you know, you're going down, your allies are now looking at you as a target because you fought so hard against what they wanted to do.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the right thing to do is to, as soon as you realize you aren't calling the shots, you should become take a seat at their table, like you said, perfectly, mm-hmm. Rob. This is why you get paid to do this. This is why you get the big bucks. To get a seat at their table and then go build your own table, like, mm-hmm. immediately. But that's the thing you have to fight against, that is the desire to stay under the radar. So you have to, right. fight your desire to stay under the radar, go create your own alliance and risk getting yourself out of the majority often. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to take the risk. So Survivor's so hard.
Yeah. So looking at it through that lens, it sounds like that we're arriving at that Angelina, when they come back and say, hey, we're going to vote off Elizabeth. That should have been fine. She should put that in the back of her head and say, okay, can't trust Dan, can't trust John, can't trust Alec. And then she's trying to figure out what is her new group. But let me get out of this. Stick with the Goliaths plan.
Or not even I can't trust them, because I think she could have still trusted them at that point. Right. They would, if she wouldn't have thrown a fit.
Yeah,
that was not nice. I should not have said that. That was, I felt like that was gender bias right there.
Do you want me to, back, or are you self-correcting?
I'm correcting myself to say that she put up a fight, is what I would like to say, instead of throwing a fit. She put up a fight for what she believed in, and maybe she could have just said, okay, I hear you guys. I'm with you. I'm Goliath Strong, because she didn't lose their trust. She just realized she was losing control. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've just got to stick the trust in your back pocket and make them think you're a willing participant in their story and go create your own story.
Right. So deprioritize those guys in her plans, yeah. after that point.
Yeah.
Kellen, with the way that this alliance has started to shape up here at the merge, that I do see some similarities between this and what was going on in your season, because we have this Goliath group where the Goliath group wants to stick together. That's the plan. We see the seven of them talking, but then we have three of these Goliaths who have made a side deal with three people from the Davids, giving them six. And it does seem as though it's being set up. And of course, this is only the first vote after the merge. But if the Goliaths don't figure this out, if the rest of the Goliaths that are not in this strike force don't figure it out, it does seem like that this thing is going to swing around where there are these six people in the strike force that could then control the numbers once we get to a certain point. And I wanted to know if you saw any similarities between what was going on with Navidi, where Dominic and Wendell then had Laurel and Donathan working with them, and they were setting things up where they were saying, okay, Navidi with you. But then when they got their opportunity, that they were switching to this other new group that they made up.
Yes. So let me make sure I've got this right, that the strike force is Alec, Allison, and Mike, Nick, Christian, and Gabby.
That is
right?
Correct.
Okay. Woo. Look at me.
Well done.
Keeping track. I think I know all the names of all of Nick's alliances.
Wow. That's a lot of alliances.
It's a lot of alliances. Yes, I did see similarities in those relationship building moments. And of course, it's like totally regret.
Like, you don't like that.
But they're doing it so beautifully. No, I think it's great. I think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I think that really sets up Alec, Allison, and Mike in a really great spot, right?
Yes.
They have the power. I'm not so sure about what that means for Nick, Christian, and Gabby, but for Alec, Allison, Mike to be willing to do that is super smart and just starting to make moves that affect them more than one tribe away. They're playing at least 6 days out, 9 days out, maybe further in their minds to set up this group. Mm-hmm. And that's the forward thinking that I think bodes well for people right at that merge episode.
Yeah. And I think it's such a great spot for Allison, Alec and Mike to be in because they have options. They don't necessarily have to go with the Strike Force. They could just tell the Strike Force, okay, go along with this plan. We'll vote out the Davids. And guess what? When we get down to 11, they could vote out Christian if they so wanted, if they felt like that they were good with the Goliaths, or they could switch things around. And then at 11, they could go with the Strike Force and vote out people like John and Dan and Angelina, and then move forward with that group. But it's just because they have the ability to decide which way they want to go at that point. It's almost like I feel like that the people that are not them are sort of helpless in terms of that. Those three people, I think, are going to dictate the direction of the whole game these next couple of weeks.
I would think so, because they're in the literal strong majority.
Yeah.
And then they're getting information, and they didn't pair up with the, not to say that Carl and Elizabeth and Davey are outcasts, quote unquote, because they aren't, but they are not, you know, they didn't take the bottom of the barrel. This sounds mean. I don't mean it like this, but they picked people who are players and leaders of the Davids. That's what's even more interesting to me. They didn't pick people, you know, Carl was out on exile by himself, or maybe Elizabeth doesn't have a one-off. Like, they could see, I think, that Nick and Christian were working together, and that Christian and Gabby were working really closely together. And then Allison knew that from being with Christian and Gabby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is how that worked. And then Mike had seen Nick and had talked a lot of strategy with Nick. So the even more interesting thing to me is they didn't go and say, oh, let's go talk to the people who are having a great time and hanging out here. Let's go to the people who have been strategizing and playing really hard. And that's a super cool thing for setup for them doing well. And also, in some ways, Alec and Allison and Mike kind of have this David vibe. Like, if you would pick the Davids of the Goliath tribe, I think most people would pick, I mean, I know Mike's like probably a freaking millionaire and Allison's a doctor and stuff, but as far as they aren't, how do I say this? I would also be a David on the Goliath tribe. Like, they're not like posing in underwear on Instagram, right? Like, they're a little bit more relatable.
Right.
And so it's just an interesting, that group of six is so, I would love to see them run to the end.
Yeah.
The next week on Survivor thing made me nervous, so I don't know how it's going to work out, but
yeah. But those are the people that they don't appear, you know, outwardly intimidating like some of the people that you know, really project that confidence that are in the Goliath group.
Yeah, they seem more approachable and more under the radar, and just it's a really fun group.
Yeah. Now, the person that we were shown in the episode to be sort of the architect of this group was an unlikely person, I think, for most of us. And that was Alec, who, you know, really did some nice things here in this episode.
Oh, my gosh. Alec. Like, first of all, when he is talking, Elizabeth is talking to him. And when Elizabeth is saying, hey, you know, I noticed Dan and Kara are getting really close. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's not a good thing. Like, he's agreeing with Elizabeth. And at the same time, he immediately says, but if I vote out Dan and Kara, that's bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's willing to say that to Elizabeth. And because he's willing to say that, willing to say, I don't know if I can do that because that's scary for me. He's coming across as truthful and trustworthy.
Yeah.
He's coming across as vulnerable. He's making himself not seem like a threat at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way he finessed through talking to Elizabeth about why he can't really go with her Dan and Kara plan was amazing. And then Alec takes that information, goes to Dan, and then makes Elizabeth the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It like solidifies his Goliath group by saying like, oh no, now look what I just heard about those Davids. And it was so great. I feel like that little section of Alec from the Elizabeth conversation to then telling Dan about Elizabeth throwing his name out was just, I think it was great Survivor.
Because I really feel like that he came into the merge into kind of a precarious spot, because Carl like instantly went to Angelina and said, oh, yeah, that I couldn't believe it that Alec flipped on Natalia. And we saw Angelina did not seem happy to hear that Alec was the person who flipped on Natalia. But it seemed like that the Goliaths seemed, you know, very forgiving. I mean, Natalia seemed like that she was kind of a key cog in what was going on, at least in Angelina's alliance, and you know, in terms of working with Kara, but nobody really seemed to mind that he ultimately did that. And in your season, it did seem as though that there was a lot of pressure where the other people from Navidi would have been upset, right? I mean, if there was a Navidi person voted out, I think from my recollection that you were not thrilled to see when a Navidi person in Bradley went out.
Yeah, internally, definitely not. But, you know, they managed. It's, you get to that merge and you are like, you don't want to be enemies with anybody. Mm-hmm. You just are trying so hard to blend in, which makes me, I want to talk about Allison a little bit, but you like so much, you so much just want to find the majority and blend in. And because of that, you can't really throw a fit about what had happened before. You don't want to be the person to dig in your heels publicly. And probably not privately. It's a mistake I made. But I think it's the time maybe to get away with it, because it is a reset button. And you do have this forgiveness in some ways to start over. But it's a hard thing. And it, to me, the evidence we have is that Alec must have discussed it in a way that got the other like true Goliath people on board and like forgave him for doing it. I don't know how, we didn't see that part, but all evidence we have is that he is managing conversations and having authentic, genuine conversations that are super strategic. And he's just doing that swimmingly right now.
Because in the episode after that, we saw where Kara was going around and trying to get people on board with going against Alec. But it seems like that she feels like she's back good with him, even though that she's not a part of what he's doing, that we didn't see Kara campaigning. Oh, Alec blindsided me. He's got to go. So it seems like that he's gotten away with this Natalia vote off scot-free at this point.
And trust me, I wanted so badly for that to just like burn down, like so terribly. I wanted to be like, see, this is what an idiot who flips too early, like so dumb. Don't take the risk. Like it would have really helped me out in my terrible gameplay to be like, see, look what would have happened to me. Look how dumb Alec was for flipping on his tribe. And then he went home next. And nope, there he is. He's just working his way out of it. So I'm learning a lot from watching Alec, and I've enjoyed it.
Well, when you were feeling that way, or in terms of how you were looking at the game in the pre-merge, were you more concerned with, okay, well, these are my people, I need to have my numbers? Or were you more thinking about, well, if I end up turning on one of the people that was from a Navidi person, then when we get to the merge, everybody else will be upset with me? For instance, that, you know, the episode made it seem like, okay, were you going to want to keep James or Desiree? Then, you know, oh, which way is it going to go? And you decided to keep the Navidi person around. Which one of those things was, you know, more going through your head?
I thought that I had a better chance of beating Dez than I had of beating James. I had been playing with Dez for 3 weeks at that point, a little less, 2 weeks, 2 full weeks. I didn't know James that well. And James seemed like a super smart cookie. Like he came over and was like, oh, well, then we figured this out and they were going to vote Angela and we flipped the vote and blah, blah, blah. So I think in that case, it was just more so that James was a
bigger threat.
A bigger threat. And I believed that Dez was one of my numbers. I obviously missed.
She would
that.
Never she turn on you.
Me.
Yeah.
She would never turn on me. Like she is with me. So I made a lot of mistakes in that, but my thought process was she's a number for me. She's a guaranteed number for me. I don't know if he's a number for me. I don't know him enough.
Yeah.
So I was wrong, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, there are no guaranteed numbers.
No guaranteed numbers. And why take the risk? But then if you're Alec, apparently you can just sweet talk everybody into saying, oh, I had to do it because blah, blah, blah. And they'll just believe you.
Maybe he's a sweet talker.
He must. Well, let's ask the ladies of 37. I think at least one of them thinks he's a sweet talker.
You mentioned Dr. Allison, and I was thinking of you last night when here comes Dr. Allison, who had been pretty quiet throughout the pre-merge, and then she comes out and lo and behold, she wins the first immunity after the merge, just like you did. Did you feel like that this was a good thing or a bad thing? Going through this experience now.
Look at my notes. I have Allison, Elizabeth, girls are repping. This is so funny. It's embarrassing. I should not be telling you guys this. I said, Allison, Elizabeth, girls repping, !! And then I said, I feel like screaming, drop it, Allison, drop it. I was relating to her in that moment and just being like, I know this feels so awesome as a fan. And then she's like, and my parents are going to be so proud. I think I said something similar. Like, my parents aren't going to believe this. Like, I won individual immunity. And the whole time I'm like, oh my gosh, just fall. Like I would never, I mean, never win individual immunity unless I felt like I had to again.
Yeah.
No. It is not worth it. Although she did get that hug from Probst. And then he said, I like it afterwards. I was like, damn, if I would have known the door was open for Probst hugs, I would have had a different 35 days.
Yeah. That, she said that she was in ecstasy.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah, she was so excited. So what do you think that is? Do you think that that's that she's a fan, you get to the merge, and now it's individual immunity, and you realize that there will be a future date where you're watching it with your friends or wherever, and then they're going to realize there's that moment where you get the necklace and that sort of takes over?
Yeah, that is not worth the attention it puts on you. No one ever forgets that you had that necklace around your neck.
Now, Elizabeth was the person who the Alliance, had been talking about as the target. Is it possible that she felt like, well, I need to win it because we need to take out Elizabeth? And did she jump on the grenade?
And I think when you're out there, it's too hard. No, I don't think so. Am I wrong? Is that what some people were thinking?
I haven't seen that anywhere, but I know it's the type of thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, hey, if we don't stop Joey Amazing tonight, then he'll go on and win immunity. Was there that sort of thought where she's like, well, I'll be the hero because we want to get Elizabeth out. And if Elizabeth wins immunity, then the target will shift. And who knows, you know, where the roulette wheel will stop then.
Yeah, maybe. But I think she probably, it's more so if I'm this close, I'm on Survivor, I might win and I won't get voted out tonight. It's the merge. What's going to happen? Like, I think your own instincts just take over. I admire those people who can throw challenges and who can step out of challenges. You have to overcome something in your brain that's a fear that says, what if you step down from this and then the vote turns on you? Then you gave up. And I think you just don't want to give up. And so she was there. You start to, for me, I was just like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm doing better than Chris Noble. Mm-hmm. I'm doing better than Sebastian. Like, wait, I'm like this nerdy girl from a chicken farm in Indiana. And now I'm on Survivor and I'm like making it like lasting in a challenge. And then just, I don't know, but let's be honest here. A lot of people do a lot better job than I do, like keeping their head in the game. So maybe none of this is true for Allison. And I'm just having a little bit of Survivor PTSD.
Well, that's understandable. Did you say you grew up on a chicken farm?
I did.
Damn. No, in all seriousness, what was that like? That was that like a family farm?
It was a family farm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, although like, apologies, like PETA listeners, turn maybe skip forward if there are children in the car who don't appreciate industrial farming. Mm-hmm. Now would be a time to pause. No, we have a very clean and nice place to keep chickens, but lots of chickens, over 300,000 chickens I grew up with on a farm. So yeah, that's where I grew up.
Yeah. Well, and then are there like a lot of people that work there also? I grew up on Long Island, so this is all super foreign to me. What could you paint a picture for me?
Well, yes. You know, Napoleon Dynamite, like, he works in a chicken house. Like, mm-hmm. that's sort of what it's like, only it's a little bit higher end than that. And we keep it very clean, and the chickens are very well fed and taken care of and temperature controlled and all of that. But my brother, Brother Clay, works on the family farm. He also has his own chicken house.
Yeah.
Lots of chickens in the Bechtold family.
Yeah. That's interesting. And so you knew that Lyrsa was right about the eggs when Natalie was saying to boil them all.
I absolutely did know Lyrsa was right about the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And remind me, did you guys have chickens in Ghost Island?
We did not.
We did not. But you would have been able to, you know, do everything that needed to get done.
Well, I personally have never ended a chicken's life, but I've seen it done. So I could have.
You could have if necessary.
If extremely necessary. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have wanted to.
Yeah. So. And I know that your family is a family of Survivor fans. Then was Survivor always a part of life for you guys from the start of the show?
I remember watching it when it first came on, like season one, and maybe even I remember watching like season two and three at home. But then in between, my brother was like quarterback of the football team, all that
stuff. Oh, look at Brother Clay.
Brother Clay, I know he's actually the real survivor hero of the family. But like, we were always busy in sports, doing all that running around and stuff. We really all got back into Survivor. I think my dad has always watched it, and we all really got back into Survivor around season 28-ish, mm-hmm. where I was watching where I lived, my brother was watching, and my dad was watching. And that's when around season 30 is my first time of watching or listening to RHAP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's that's less important to the story, but that.
Well, no, it is important to the story. That's when I got super obsessed with it, and then, you know, my dad and I don't have a whole lot in common, just like me and my brother don't have a whole lot in common. But Survivor is one of those things, mm-hmm. and we have like a family group chat we would talk about sometimes. For Christmas, one Christmas I did like Survivor trivia, and I remember being yeah. like, what was the first food that Survivor Keith ate when he got to Ponderosa? That was like one of the questions. And we have a family buff that like, you got the buff if you won trivia. I think, you want to know something? In casting, I said I put on family Survivor trivia, and of course I won. I definitely didn't win.
No, you lied. You lied to casting.
Yes. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. No, but that is really nice. And, you know, I've heard stories like that from other people who I met, you know, who are, you know, fans of the show and ultimately the podcast, and talk about how, you know, it's something that has, you know, brought family members together that they didn't really have a ton of other things to talk about. I mean, for me and my dad, I would say that, you know, 95% of the conversations that, you know, that we had over the last 30 years were probably about the sports teams that we root for. So I definitely think that it's a cool thing to be able to, you know, have that where there's not so much other common ground to be able to start conversations, that it's a great thing to, you know, be, you know, get the conversation started.
It's really, really wonderful. And it changed me and my brother's relationship for the rest of our lives. Like, he and I didn't talk much. My brother had never come to visit me. Sorry to call you out, Clay, but my brother had like never come to visit me where I lived in my life before he came to visit me in Fiji. Like, he hadn't, that's like,
well, he's got the whole chicken farm to take care of. Kellen
has a lot of chickens to take care of. That's true. And three little babies and a wonderful wife and a lot of stuff, lots of good reasons. But we end up talking about Survivor a lot. Then I ask him to be my loved ones visit. He makes it out there. And for the loved ones visit episode, he flew out to Denver, stayed mm-hmm. with me for a few days. We went hiking in beautiful hiking and like just hung out. And now we're talking, and it really did change our relationship. And as cheesy as some people would think, like, Survivor has changed my life in so many beautiful ways. And that is a relationship that has been changed for forever for the better. And I'm so, so thankful for that. Actually, I just checked because I figured he had texted me. He texted me, "What's re-happening?"
Nice.
So even now, wow, yeah, go Clay. Even, oh, sorry to like go on this for forever. This might be boring for people, but I just, the lesson is like, if there are people in your life that you feel like you have nothing in common with, like you can find something. Maybe that will be Survivor. Maybe it's something else. But people who are important to you and you just feel like, oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I remember you talking about your dad saying like, I'm not sure I always felt comfortable saying all the things all the time, but you had sports to talk about.
Yeah.
So you did talk about it and you were in constant contact, and that's a great kind of glue to your relationship. So I just encourage people to try and find something that can bring your family or a long lost friend or something back in your life.
One last thing, and then I'll get back to David and Goliath. Were you interested in The Survivor, or did you just start watching it because it was a means to an end to, you know, have these conversations with your family?
I would say it was 50-50. When it came up and I heard that my brother and dad were talking about it, I was like, oh, what is this? I definitely should watch just so I can talk to them about it. And then I remembered watching Richard Hatch and kind of how popular it was when it first started. So it was a mix of those inspirations.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I fell in love with it. I mean, I still am.
Yes.
I just love the show. And here it is. Like, there are all these people. I have notes on everyone, which I won't make you all go through. I could take a picture of it. But like, I love each one of them.
Not the mayor of Slamtown.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure here's the moral of this story. I'm sure Mayor of Slamtown and I could come up with something that we had in common, and I could build that relationship if we needed to.
Okay. I want to ask you about your, fellow former Denver resident, Gabby, a little bit, and how you think that she's been doing this season, because that she has been sort of tagged with being the person who is the crier on the season. And so do you feel like, is that an unfair assessment for people to make about Gabby?
Well, I don't think it's an unfair assessment. We have seen her crying a lot. So yeah, it does look like she cried out there, and it does look like she's reacting emotionally, as all of us do when you're out there and you're starved and they've been in the rain and just essentially like tortured out there. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her way of being vulnerable. You know, she's a true soul. She's out there being herself. She's out there fighting and wanting to do well in this game. She's not crying because she's like, oh, I'm tired and cold. And she's crying because she's like, this is a game. This is a game of a lifetime. And I am showing up and my whole self is showing up and I've got something to say. And like the way she, oh my God. Oh my God. Did you not just love it? The way she was flicking those tears off of her face, like, with just like so much attitude of being like, yeah, take these tears and shove it. Like, you listen to what I have to say here. And I love people when they show up. Is it great Survivor strategy? I don't think so, probably.
Yeah.
But is it awesome TV to watch? And is she created an adventure of a lifetime? Absolutely. So is it a winning game? No. Is it a super fun game to either love or hate? Yes. So and is it an experience, a fully whole experience for her? I imagine she had a great time out there.
Great. So Gabby, maybe outside of Angelina, is the person that I am the most confused about what she was up to and what her intentions were in this episode last night, because I talked with Steven about this last night, where I was really feeling like, oh no, this was theater. And I felt like that Gabby hung Elizabeth out to dry by saying, okay, oh yeah, you should go after Angelina. You should blow this up at tribal council. And I thought, because she's in those conversations as part of the strike force, and she talked about how happy she was to be a part of this group. And yes, the plan was going to be, they were going to have to sacrifice a couple of Davids, but it was going to be for the greater good, where they were going to make their move coming up at 11, and she wasn't happy about it, but I thought that she was sort of like, she saw the logic in it. And then I felt like that she was really helping to contribute to throw Angelina under the bus, where, you know, she really was like, hey, don't get mad at us because we're sad because our friend is getting voted out. And I thought that she was, you know, a little bit indignant, and I thought that she was trying to help to bury Angelina, but it was all an act because she knew that she was part of the strike force. But then, after talking to Elizabeth, Elizabeth's telling of the story was more like, no, all of the Davids were on board with this and they were going to go through it until Carl had to ruin everything by saying he wouldn't go along with the plan, and that Gabby really was sad because I was getting voted out. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that Elizabeth knows what was going through Gabby's mind, and that was could have just been Elizabeth's perception of how the night was unfolding, because she didn't know about the strike force until she had seen the episode last night. So what do you think is going on here, Kellen?
Well, I think that two things were true in this moment that may seem like competing things, because there's being out and playing Survivor as a human being, and there's being out on the island playing Survivor as a Survivor player. I think Gabby, as a Survivor player, went into that vote voting with Christian, voting with the strike force, and Elizabeth was going home. I think that Gabby, as a human, was sad that Elizabeth was going home. I think Gabby, as a human, was feeling, as an extremely empathetic person, was probably feeling terrible for Elizabeth going home, and also maybe feeling all of the incredible tension that had to be at that council towards Angela. And I think she was having an emotional reaction. I think it was twofold. Do I think that she was creating this, like, I'm going to start crying and pretend like I didn't know, and I'm just holding up this strike force thing, and, oh, I don't know. If she told me that's what she was doing, I would believe her. But I think she was just being a human out there. I think she was feeling the tension of being out there. Mm-hmm. But I also thought the same thing about Angelina. And y'all said she was just some strategic mastermind. So maybe I'm missing the boat on the Gabby thing, too.
I don't know. I'm starting to feel less like that it was all an act. Because last night I was like, oh, look at Gabby. Look at what she's doing. She's got everybody fooled now. Not to say that she doesn't, but it seems that maybe this might have been, a more emotional, it was very emotional from Elizabeth's perspective, but it sounded like from what Elizabeth had to say today that there was more going on there than what we even saw in the episode.
Well, and what does Gabby have to lose by letting the emotions out about how sad she was that Elizabeth was going?
Yeah. Well,
I don't think she has anything to lose there. So there's no reason for her to calculate and control that real human feeling she had.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what she does have to lose is that Angelina comes back and says, all right, everybody, Gabby's the next target, where, that if she, kept her cards closer to the vest, maybe she, I don't know, because on the one hand, I'm saying that it's, she's acting that she's so upset because she's trying to hide the fact that there is a strike force. But on the other hand, I'm saying that she's also going to potentially be the person that when they get back from tribal, that Angelina is saying, okay, next target is Gabby. I didn't like how she was talking about me.
That's definitely a risk. Well, didn't it show on next week on Survivor that they're like talking about Christian's got to go next?
Yeah, but they also said that coming into this week.
No, I know, but the reason why I'm bringing that up is that combined with Gabby's emotional reaction and them trying to get Christian out, who gets the stray bullet? The Brochachos stick up for Christian and they see Gabby and Christian as a pair. If they're trying to, if Angelina and Strong Goliath, Outward Goliath Strong crew are saying, we want Christian out, who do people fall on and say, okay, that's all right? Who, Carl and Davey, who are they willing to let fall on the sword for that? And then Gabby being this, having this emotional reaction, she's being seen as the female counterpart to Christian. Hey, if we can't get Christian, we can get his right-hand woman. Mm-hmm. And that makes it scary for Gabby for next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot to be determined next week. I
hope not. I'm frustrated because I really want the Strike Force 6 to stay strong.
Yeah, I think they're going to be okay here for a little bit, because the week I'll worry about Christian is the week that they don't say that they're going after Christian in the preview. That's the week that I'll worry about Christian.
Well, I know. I wasn't worried about Christian.
Yeah. All right. I think you'd love him.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about Christian even more?
Even more.
Does everyone just want to talk about Christian all the time?
Yeah. I think Randy was the only person I talked to that didn't really care for him.
Yeah. Well, okay. his like mannerisms and analogies, and he is actually incredibly emotionally intelligent and aware of what's happening around him. Mm-hmm. Even though he comes across as, like, some might say, socially awkward.
Yes.
He uses phrases all the time like, I got the sense that, or mm-hmm. I understood that she was saying, like, I can't think of all of the words that all the phrases that he uses, but he is always like checking the feelings and the emotions of other people in the room.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that he is coming into his own. Like, oh my gosh, I'm such a sucker for the whole thing. But like, wouldn't it just be such beautiful Survivor if Christian won this whole thing? Like, it's probably not going to happen because that would just be too good to be true. But in like, isn't there a thing called like fan fiction?
Yes.
Like Survivor fan fiction. Christian is definitely winning season 37 in my novel.
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Okay, so you're writing Christian as the winner in the fan fiction, not Gabby.
Okay, that's... Now, Rob, did you really have to do that to me? I feel like an asshole. You're right. I definitely would love Gabby to also win.
Yes.
A different
story.
So
you want there to Jeff Probst to be like, all right, we got a twist. David versus Goliath, two winners. It's Christian and Gabby.
Christian and Gabby together. Yes, of course. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. As a like human and how much I love Gabby as a person, and I do fully admit like she and I have met each other because we both lived in Denver for a bit. I would love for Gabby to win, of course.
Okay.
But Christian though.
Yes.
My novel, sorry, Gabs, I'm definitely writing Christian as the winner. And his eyes, his blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
like, watch out, ladies. Like, he's Christian.
No, do not watch out, ladies, because I was watching in the secret scenes today that Christian talked about how the merge was his 13-year anniversary.
Oh.
And I said, how old is Christian? I had to look this up. Yes, but that he is a 13-year anniversary.
Oh, that's sweet. So he was 19 when he met his love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so darling. Okay, but this is fan fiction. Okay. Right?
There you go.
Right?
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I know. Well,
this
I'm
is not fan
this.
Fiction for Christian's boo, though, I will have to say.
Fair. I'm sorry, Miss Future. Hubicki, this, I apologize if you're listening to this. I am sure in that secret scene, Christian is confessing his love for you. And that is also true. And I apologize for my novel going against that.
Okay. All right. But, you know, hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically speaking. Yeah. No, just as a Survivor character. And he was like, I think Dalton posted the gif of him like knocking the piece of wood
yes.
over and then just like patting it down. And then he just like pauses for like a 0.1 second and then just goes right back into what he was saying. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have a bit of an obsession, obviously.
And I don't have the clip pulled on that, but I do want to say that, you know, kudos to the Survivor editors, because that, I mean, what Christian was doing in that scene was, you know, he's in the middle of a confessional and then he knocks over the stick and then goes right back into the confessional. And then they left the mistake in there, you know, that they could have just cut out where he knocks the stick over and then gone right into it. But they gave you that character moment also. So a cool little moment that the Survivor editors give you there. Let me ask you if Christian ever visited the chicken farm or Brother Clay Chicken Farm. Would he be grounded if
the chicken has flown the coop?
If he let one of the chickens out?
Yes.
Would the obsession probably end?
No. This obsession, I don't think, will ever end. He seems like an amazing person. And like, I bet in real life, he's also just that wonderful. Like, okay. I want to be his friend. Like, please, Mrs. Hubicki, don't. I promise I won't. Like, don't worry. We live far apart. I'm not actually in love with him. I'm just survivor crushing on him.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. And that's a different thing. A survivor crush. Oh my gosh.
Totally different thing.
Yeah.
Totally different thing.
I'm not sure if my wife would consider it different, but I'm sure that Christian's boo is far more reasonable.
Maybe. I don't know. Now I feel weird. Now I feel like it's like gotten personal.
I made it weird.
And I really
I'm sorry.
Don't mean it personal.
I'm sorry. I apologize. All right. Let's talk about something else that I've been waiting all day to talk about. Okay. So there was this merge feast. And at the merge feast, there was a lot of focus on one item in particular on the table. We saw Gabby talking about something. I'm going to play you a clip.
I know that typically with the merge, there's usually some kind of idol hidden somewhere, and sometimes you can find a clue at the feast. So I noticed that we all had little individual napkin holders, and I was like super conscious of like, what if there's something in it? And I also noticed the sign that came with the table that said, everything you need for the merge is right here. Well, does that also mean some kind of advantage? I don't know, but I didn't see anything hidden at the table. This could be survivor paranoia, right? Where you look for a sign in everything where there's not one.
Okay. All right. Kellen, let's talk about this. Did that stand out to you, that scene from the episode last night?
Of course. Absolutely. And I thought that it was the clue was behind that piece of paper.
Okay. All right.
But then.
Yes.
But then you look closer and.
Yes.
It looks like it's saying like right here. I'm cheating. I did see this on Twitter.
Okay.
And people were like, it says ... exclamation point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So that this has been widely reported on the Survivor social media, but I am going to credit our own Wandoff extraordinaire, DJ LaBelle Klein, who was the first person that I saw reporting about this. And again, it's been picked up by Reddit. It's been picked up all over the place by the amateur Survivor sleuths who have noticed that the clue, which looks like sort of like a cool like surfer graphic tee. I could definitely see Seabass walking around in a shirt like this. But the tree, the silhouette of the tree appears to match a tree that is seen in the background in a number of shots. And so Kellen, when the clue says congratulations, everything you need for the perfect merge is right here, could the advantage or the hidden immunity idol be hidden right underneath the base of this tree, which is jutting up? Now, first off, do you recognize this tree?
Personally?
Yes.
No.
Okay. This is not maybe like, that's the Malolo tree.
Well, I don't know what beach they're at, and I probably should know, but I don't know what beach are they at.
Okay. I don't know. I've never been to Fiji.
Yeah, I don't know which beach. I'm sure someone will tell me immediately which beach the merge is at, but I don't know, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're at Novini Beach.
Okay.
Or our merge beach, but maybe they are. But isn't that the coolest freaking thing?
Yeah.
Well, if it really is, it's got to be that. And that's going to be so amazing. And they should hire DJ LaBelle Klein to work on the show today.
Yeah. Well, he's a very talented person. And, you know, I will share his tweet in the post. If you want to look at it yourself, you can go on Twitter at DJ LaBelle Klein, spelled like the names of the two survivors that are his namesake. There have been, you know, more screenshots of that tree in the background. There's another shot of Dan with that tree in the background. Is this real or is this just another case of the internet running wild with a case of
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
It gets better every time. I hope, and I think DJ LaBelle Klein is right. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah. Because it was so weird that there was such a focus on it, and then nothing ended up happening with it, where the merge feast ended, and they presumably, you know, the dishes went away, and all the stuff went away, and that was it. And it's like, oh boy, it seems like there was a focus on this. It feels like that this is going to come up again.
I think it has to come up. And it reminds me of like some of the editing things that they are switching around, that like Dan had the idol and then they showed it later. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that they dropped this now and they aren't going to bring it up again until later. Like that stuff is super fun. And it gives people who watch Survivor after 18 years or whatever more stuff to pay attention to. And it really keeps a viewer on the hook. And so it's the same country now. It's the same beaches, you know, it's the same game, but anytime they have these things planted in there, like I sure hope that little dot, dot, dot exclamation point right on that palm tree. Oh my gosh. It's just genius.
Okay. Now we saw Gabby as the person who talked about the clue, said there has to be something there. Do you think that inevitably it will be Gabby that finds the advantage or the idol?
No.
You don't. Okay. Do you have a suspect that you think will be the person to find it?
Who? Let me look at everybody here on my list.
Look at everybody there.
Observation. I mean, I think Gabby just does a beautiful job storytelling, and she has great vocabulary and describes things super well. And so rightfully so, she's been a narrator at the beginning of the season. So I think that's why she got to tell the story. Although I would be so excited. Oh my gosh. I would be so excited if she figures it out and goes and finds it. I might cry for her. Oh, I've been crying a lot watching the season, but we can get to that later.
Well, that's an interesting question. Okay. Well, since we're here, I won't let this go. Have you cried for other survivors?
Oh my God. I think I have cried every episode, and I've even watched them now twice. Well, not this one twice, but the others. And I still cried.
Did you do that before you went on Survivor, or because you feel more connected having been through the experience and knowing what the emotions are like?
I don't think ever, not one time did I cry watching Survivor before I went to play.
Interesting.
And well, first of all, the first time is when watching Pat, like, oh my gosh, I could get emotional now thinking about it, but just like watching Pat, and he's obviously in so much pain and isn't even thinking all the way clearly. And he's like, just saying like, I can't quit. Like you can do anything to me.
Not
right?
Like this. Not like this, he said.
Yeah. Not like this. Like after, and then everyone's crying because you all know how hard you've worked to get out there and how big of a dream it is. And to watch him hold on so dearly, like he was willing to risk. He wasn't saying like, now this is shit talking, but like B, you know, choosing to leave. And it's my understanding because Jeff said, when I watched that back, he was like, just to be clear, B is quitting the game.
Jeff was very clear.
Yeah. So that wasn't like a life or death thing. So that's a side note, but in comparison to that, watching Pat, obviously it's a life or death thing. They're pulling him out of the game. He's like, has a brace on his neck. I'm sure they're worried about being paralyzed and stuff. And he's just like, don't take me out. And like that feeling of like, you would do anything to continue to be on Survivor because you want it so bad, because you're so connected to it and such a fan and such a dream, like to watch him get pulled off that beach and just fighting for his life when he should have fighting for his survivor life, when he should have been worried about fighting for his real life. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh. Did everyone feel that? I don't know, but I sure did.
Yeah. I think that it was an emotional scene.
That was convincing.
It sounds like that. Maybe, I mean that again, if I can recall, that I believe that empathy is your superpower. So you watch these emotional scenes and it's too much for you because that now you became too overwhelmed with the emotion from that scene.
I did. And then every time now that I see people win a reward and they like start a reward or a challenge and they like start jumping up and down and like hugging all over each other, I've had tears.
You love it.
I'm just so proud of them.
Yes.
And I know how amazing it feels. And I just have flashbacks to like that first huge cube puzzle that I helped solve. And like Dom is like standing on top of it and we're all jumping up and down. It just takes me back to those moments of like pure human connection and emotion and celebration. And wow, those are the gifts of survival as a fan. You just don't understand. And so I just feel so happy for them. And just then, yeah, so kind of so sad for things when they aren't going so well. But
yeah,
I've had an emotional time. Everyone feel bad for me, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're saying that you feel like that there's a disconnect where as a viewer, you don't understand, you know, how happy a picnic makes you when you're on Survivor. Unless you've been there.
I didn't understand at all what that would feel like until I experienced it. I had no idea what they all were feeling when they like accomplished a challenge together, or like when Gabby was a freaking baller and like told everyone through the blindfold thing when she's like riding on that little cart. Super cool challenges this season too, by the way. But like when she's done that and she like how such a sense of fulfillment that she must have had, and how in that moment, how proud all of her teammates are for her and how much she loves that. Like, it's just, I mean, maybe that's probably why I didn't win Survivor, because I was out there feeling the experience instead of winning the experience. But it's even for the people who do strategy the whole time and fucking kill it out there, like Wendell and stuff, like we all have those human moments, and that's, you don't understand that that's the essence that drives the joy of watching Survivor at home. You get it, but you don't feel it. And now I just feel it. And to go back to the strategy, who do I think will notice that is the palm tree?
Yes.
I hope it's Allison.
Allison. Okay. Oh, that's an interesting dark horse, because I kind of feel like that my money would be on Christian, because I kind of feel like with his computer robot brain, I almost feel like that I could see Gabby, you know, being the one to say, hey, look at this. There's got to be something with this. But maybe Christian is the one who spots the tree.
Oh, my gosh. I think this is a chapter in my fan fiction novel. Let's hope this happens. I would be so happy if Gabby was like talking it out with Christian. And then he like they kind of figure it out together.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Great. I like your guess better than mine.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to start bringing in some questions here from the listeners of the podcast. And let me bring up a question. I got this from a couple different people. I'll read Mike's question because it's something that you and I talked about when we did our retrospective, and it kind of pertains to what we're talking about now. What are Kellen's thoughts on the continuing trend of women not finding the idols? It was highlighted in the premiere, but we've seen three more idols being found by men in the season. And obviously Dan finding two, but do you think that the way that Survivor, if this is potentially an idol, do you feel like that this is something that is more of an equalizer as opposed to how the idols have been hidden in the past, having this sort of a clue that needs to be deciphered?
No, I don't think so, because I thought Angelina's post about why men find more idols in Survivor because of like the traditional gender roles and being able to go out and hunt for stuff and be away from camp while the women tend to like stay at home and tend to the fire and cook the food and braid fronds and stuff. I really think that there's something to that. And so how you getting to have a clue, I don't know if that has a gender dynamic, because even if the women would figure out the clue earlier or whatever, because they're talking it out or something, they still don't have as many opportunities to go off searching for the idol or to be away from camp. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know if that's 100% the reason why there's such a gender difference in finding idols on American Survivor or US Survivor. But it definitely contributes to it as far as being able to take on like traditional gender roles. But I hope that this time it changes. Another reason why I loved 37 is the women who are standing up for the show and openly talking about it. Allison and Angelina were at the well. I forget what episode, was that episode one or two?
This is the premiere.
About,
yeah.
yeah, the premiere talking about finding idols and how it's different for women. And because they've talked about that and now they're showing Gabby narrate the story, I hope, oh my gosh, what if we go a whole nother season and not any one of those women find an idol? That would be so sad.
Well, is there anything else that the show could potentially do? Get rid of the idols.
Yeah. I mean, how did I get an advantage? I got an advantage because I was able to be away from camp without an excuse. Mm. Right? Because I was, that's the only reason
yeah.
to go and have time away from camp and not mothering everyone and making sure everyone felt good and making sure everything was all good at camp was because I was off at Ghost Island. That's how I got the time and found the time to get an advantage. So, maybe creating more opportunities for random people to be able to spend time alone. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't have to be like choosing to be away from camp.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I wish I knew the solution. Trust me.
I don't think it's an easy problem to potentially remedy.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know necessarily, you know, what the show can do to in terms of changing the idols. I mean, I feel like that this is almost like the opposite of in your season where, you know, I think it was that Donathan found a clue that was outside of the camp, but then the idol was buried at the camp. This is almost like the clue is in the camp, but you have to go out of the camp. So I don't know, but I don't think it's an easy problem to correct. I don't know.
I think men are also like just in general on Survivor, and I don't want to put blankets on everything, but like girls will often go off together to like, oh, we're going to go collect firewood. It's sort of like they like at a bar, girls go to the bathroom together sort mm-hmm. of thing. It's sort of that mentality as well. It's more common maybe for the girls to stick together more often. Even sometimes like when we would go to the bathroom, I know, so like literally like the bar to the bathroom or the bathroom bar at the bar thing, like sometimes like I can remember me and Johnson being like, okay, we're gonna go to the bathroom, and you would even go not like right beside each other, but if you were gonna leave camp, you would still go with someone, and we could use that as a time to strategize, and the women would do that to have like girl talks on the way to the restroom, quote unquote mm-hmm. restroom. But then we weren't using that for idle time maybe. So maybe we just are, I don't, that sounds so like putting blanket statement on gender behavior, but I think it does prove true. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
Justin Feinberg has a good question. And he calls me out, but I don't mind it. Rob said on the Know-It-Alls that Kara has no chance to win the game, but Kara is currently positioned in the game as a non-threat in a majority alliance with a giant meat shield in front of her. What does Kellen make of Kara's winner chances? Can Kara manage to Michelle Fitzgerald or Adam Klein her way to the win? Steven has been higher on Kara than I was. I thought she was better on the rewatch I did today than I had remembered. But what do you think? Do you think that Kara has a shot at this thing?
I think she has a shot. I have to say, I haven't been thinking of her. And, you know, I have my like list of people who I think could win, and she wasn't on it. But she's also not on my list of people who are absolutely not winning.
I don't think she's bad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a chance she could sneak through, because let's think about what is her way to the end.
Right. That's the thing. Figure out what is her path look like. I feel like she's got a lot of eggs in Dan's jacket. You know what I mean? But so I mean, it feels like
I was gonna say, I think Dan really has his eggs in her jacket.
Whoa, but I don't even know what that means. It feels like her road to the end is with Dan.
Yeah.
And I don't feel particularly great about the way that Dan is trending right now. And it seems like that, you know, she seems like that she is sort of aligned with people like Alec, who that in Alec's master plan, she doesn't seem like that she's a part of that. And she's probably also aligned with Carl and Davey, who are not looking like that they've got the inside track to the end. So if I sort of like was going to graph, you know, where her game is, you know, an alliance with Dan, Alec, Carl and Davey, I don't see that as looking particularly great. And then we've also seen her working with Angelina, who we're talking about, you know, her game has some problems right now. So I just don't see it as currently constituted. But like the case of Michelle Fitzgerald, just because you don't have it going on at the final 12 doesn't mean you can't get it figured out by the end.
Right. There's still a chance she can figure it out. I just don't see the two she would get there with, that she would be seen as being the one who is in control.
Yes.
And there aren't enough people that are like really unlikable. And we haven't seen her build relationships with, well, we saw her like connect with Elizabeth about the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like connected with Dan because of their relationship, potential relationship through Dan's eyes. Right. But have we seen her in, I mean, and then she was originally kind of friends with Natalia. So I don't know. It just feels like her bonds are not strong enough and not strategic enough. It seems like she's going with the flow. She's in a great position to finish, you know, in that kind of sixth, seventh spot, maybe.
Right. And I also, you know, want to add, you know, and maybe it was more the secret scene that I watched with her that I was more impressed by than anything that was in the episode. But she talked about how, look, that I think that Dan would play idols on me, but I don't think that's necessarily going to win me the game if I'm sort of this damsel and Dan has to save me with his idol. So I know if I'm going to win that I need to do something. You know, she needs to have something that she can point to and say why she would win, other than, you know, she could make it to the end, but be a person who gets no vote. So that ultimately she would have to, you know, figure something out. So I don't think that she's drawing dead by any stretch of the imagination, but as of right now, I don't see an option for us. And also we're not seeing the seeds of, you know, an option coming together for her. So that's why nothing against Kara, you know, I'm sure she's fine, but I'm just not, you know, as high on her as Steven has been.
I mean, first of all, if she does cook up a blindside of Dan with two idols in her pocket, and then she can,
okay,
let
now we're talking
somehow,
that's something.
Then you're like, oh wow. But if she could, I mean, good on her, she pulls that off. I would love to see that as well. Gosh, all these fan fiction things I'd like, but unfortunately I do believe Kara winning this show is just that, fan fiction.
Okay. Isaac Christensen wants to know, Kellen, should Natalie's jacket go to Ghost Island?
Natalie.
Yes. It should go.
Absolutely. First of all, it would have been so nice to have a jacket there. It was super cold to be there alone, not have anybody to cuddle up next to. So the jacket would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And her just being like, Natalie? Natalie?
Yeah.
Natalie.
Oh my God, there have been so, I have been, not only have I had tears from like empathy, but I've had tears from laughing so hard so many times this season. Like, people are funny. Like Jeremy, I know, controversial, but he had some great one-liners, which my notes on Jeremy are across the table. But like, he had some really great one-liners. Davey is hilarious. Like, I love just Davey's little commentary. Great. Nick, well, we haven't even talked about Nick, which was definitely one of my preseason. I thought, ooh, this guy, you got to watch out for him. He was probably like the number one person who I thought had a chance to win. Although I did not write that down anywhere. I don't think it's on the record. So now I don't know that I can take credit for that. But
no. So wait, you write down your winner picks? Is that part of what you're doing with your family?
I didn't.
Well, did you write down somebody else as your winner pick?
Sorry, I didn't write down winner picks this year. We didn't do it, but historically with my family, yes. Once we got to the merge, then we would write down in the order how we thought people would go, and then we did like a pool sort of thing of people could win for predicting this season.
Okay, so are you feeling good about Nick or no now?
I'm feeling great about Nick.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's been very quietly, you know, we have not really talked about him or Mike, either of the rock stars as part of the strike force. But Nick has a knack of being in the right place at the right time.
He does, and what they
except when Pat was around. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, according to Pat. But since Pat's been gone,
yeah, yes, exactly, right. So they've shown him that people were like, "Oh, we want him out," and then now he's making like he's the complete opposite story of Kara, where we haven't seen her build bonds. We know not only have we seen him build bonds, we know who they're with, we know what they're named. Like, yes, it does make great TV, so maybe that's just it. But I have seen him really building relationships and doing a great job of being strategic, where people feel like they can trust him to help them make good decisions, but not being a bulldozer.
Yeah. He's done a good job. Let me give you this question. We got a tweet from Elizabeth Olsen, the most recently voted out survivor. I said, do you have any questions for Kellen for this podcast? And she tweeted, what has been the second most iconic moment of season 37? You know, besides the jacket ask. And I thought that was an interesting question. I don't know if Elizabeth is hoping for Elizabeth being voted out, but I thought it was actually a very good question.
Well, that's a great, the second most other than the jacket has to be play with you like in the sand.
Oh, that's the second most iconic moment of the season.
I don't know if it's iconic, but it was the best. It was my favorite moment of the season so far.
Yes. Okay. So
for sure.
So
I don't know if that's iconic.
Yeah.
Should I think of something else?
Well, do you want to play with me?
Play with you? On the sand?
Second most iconic moment of the season. Wow. That's something.
Okay. I apparently disappointed you in my choice. What's your choice, Rob?
I don't know. I think it would be tough to come up with something that would be the second most iconic moment of the season.
Natalie's vote off things are freaking hilarious. Those are probably something that will like go down in Survivor history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if we were going to go off of just like purely iconic, I think maybe if we're looking for a moment, maybe it's Pat's medevac. Maybe that's it, because that was something that we've never seen before. I do wonder, maybe it's the Slamtown talk. I know you don't care for it. I know you don't care for it.
Does the Rahar happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just going off of what were the things on the podcast that happened that we talked about for, and I feel like that really generated a lot of conversation, sort of like, just like, what is Slamtown and trying to explain Slamtown. I feel like that was sort of a moment in the season. What about Natalia's vote out?
Oh, that was pretty fun. Wait, was she like, shut up? What did she say?
Yeah.
Stop talking. Did she say shut up?
She was not happy. This is what Natalia had to say when she went out of the game.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Shut up. Where do I put this?
And then she said this.
Why are you smiling? Oh my God. I can't handle you right now.
It's a game.
So the tribal council last night was good. I don't know if there's an iconic moment from the tribal council.
Well, we should definitely have a poll. And I think for Elizabeth, since it was her question, I thought it was amazing that she said, my goal was to come out here to play hard and be myself or something. And Jeff said to her in that moment, well done. And that's just a testament to what an amazing woman Elizabeth is. I was definitely welling up. I don't think I had tears streaming, but I was feeling that. And just like, what a wonderful woman she is and how tough of a person she is. You could tell in that she wasn't just like whining, like, oh, I'm a little cold. Like, she must have had some very serious back issues. And like, yeah, she probably shouldn't have been emotional about it. Definitely put a target on her and all of that. But just to have Jeff respect her as a person so much to even say something like, I don't think he usually says anything to anyone as they exit. So that I think should be Elizabeth's iconic moment.
Okay. All right. Well done. We also got a question from another survivor, and Tyson Apostle tweeted in to ask, am I still your favorite? If not, please rescind my question. Is Tyson still your favorite survivor?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
I still admire Tyson's game. And now I feel like I'm like kind of like a survivor nerding out right now, because first of all, how did he know he was my favorite? He listened.
I don't know. Did you say that on the podcast, or was it in your bio?
Remember on the podcast, I think I had like a few favorites, but I don't, I mean, I'm sure I talked about it. It's not like it was like a secret, but I just didn't know that he knew me.
Yeah. What is it about Tyson that you find so great? If you had to pick just one thing.
One thing that he knows when to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
Better than anyone else. Like, he just knows when.
He's got a great read of the room, Tyson.
God, he's so good. And he's so cool. Like, he's nerdy, but he's so cool. And then he, like, knows how to play poker really well. And I, like, wish I knew how to play poker that well. And then he is just wears cool hats.
Yeah, why do you play cards?
I do. Yes. I do. I like Texas Hold'em little bit here and there.
Yes.
No, Tyson just seems like a super fun person. Like, he is not afraid to look silly, but yet he's just like,
he doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but he's also just so cool. I don't know. You're friends with him. You get to talk to him all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tyson is, you know, incredibly, you know, uninhibited and, you know, self-aware and friendly. And, you know, I'm sure that maybe there are things that he is anxious about, but is, you know, seemingly without any sort of anxiety and, never makes it awkward unless he's like intentionally making it awkward. And so that he is incredible interpersonal skills.
Yeah, he's like cool as a nerdy cucumber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, John Johnson said, tell Kellen I said hi.
Oh, John. Hey.
I wasn't sure if there was going to be recognition there. But yeah, you know, John.
I do not remember what event I was at, but I remember.
I bet Hearts of Reality. Hearts of Reality.
Okay, probably Hearts of Reality. I maybe had a few bubbles. And he walks up and I'm like, John. And I think he was like, oh my gosh, he knows who I am. And that was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. John knows who I am, because I think John was at Chicago RehabCon, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Was he there? Do you know?
I believe so.
Yeah. So that's how I knew who he was, because I met him there when I was a fan too.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You guys are still kept up all these years later.
Well, at RehabCon, yes, and then at Hearts of Reality, you're telling me, and now this beautiful, kind tweet. Yes.
This is a question for you from Luke. Luke wants to know, what moment from this season would Kellen like to see reenacted on Twitter a la fake Kellen? Jacket Gate is the easy pick. Is there another good idea? Is this putting you more on the spot? Like, what's the most iconic moment?
No, I didn't actually feel on the spot. I just felt like you were disappointed in my answer.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it doesn't mean it's the wrong answer.
I feel like two Kellens playing the guitar together and then walking away and rolling my eyes like Mike does, like, oh my God, playing this stupid fake guitar, but I guess I'll do it. Like, those are some of my favorite. I love Mike.
So you want to recreate the rock stars with you and another Kellen?
Yeah, me and
another. Meow. Yeah.
And then he's like, what does he say? He's like, in that confessional, what did Mike say? Something about like silly little rock band or something, or I'll play fake steel guitar. I don't remember the line, which is making it not funny.
Mm-hmm. But
it's really, really good. And then he's just like, once you see him like cringe a little bit every time he has to play his fake guitar, but he's like doing it for the name of Survivor.
You like that.
Yeah, it's so great.
Okay. Let me play you a voicemail question. Let me give you a voicemail question from Brent the Shower Man.
Aww. Hey, yo, Kellen O. This is Brent the Shower Man. I figured it was only fitting to leave you a voicemail since you got your start on RHAP, leaving such great messages. As somebody who talked about dealing with and overcoming setbacks in life just before you were cast on Survivor, do you find yourself rooting for the Davids? Or do you identify with the Goliaths since you were a very vocal part of the Navidi Strong camp last season? Thanks. Hope all is well. Take care. Bye.
Kellen, did you find yourself watching the show as a David, even though you may be a Goliath in bloom?
Oh, well, first of all, Brent the Shower Man, that was so kind and so articulate.
He did fake Kellen's too.
I know. Yeah. And I think I met him at one of the, does he live in LA?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I met him at the after party.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And gave him a hug. Yeah. By the bathroom. I was trying to go to the bathroom and there was Brent the Shower Man. great story. anyway, so that was really thoughtful. Thank you, Brent. It's nice to hear from you. And I definitely identify with the David. I think before the show, I tweeted like, y'all know I'll be rooting for Team David, right? Like, I definitely feel like a David. I don't feel like I'm very privileged and I've never had to worry about food to eat and all that stuff, but I haven't necessarily been like the prettiest girl or the most like athletic girl in the room. And like even Dr. Joe in my Ponderosa video, which I randomly watched the other day, cause I was like starting to date this new guy and I like had him watch the Ponderosa video cause he doesn't know Survivor. And I was like, please don't really watch Survivor. I'm kind of like a crazy bitch on that show, but you can watch Ponderosa to see what I was kind of like. And then Dr. Joe, the first question after the show was like, so you know, when you started this game, you weren't like really like the most athletic looking type girl. And I'm like, God, that wasn't very nice. Thanks, Dr. Joe. Yeah. Well, but anyway,
you're selling yourself very short here, Kellen.
Oh, thank you.
The listeners are getting irate right now because you're being too hard on yourself.
Well, because I'm being as hard on myself as Dr. Joe was being on me. Thank you very much. but no, I know I am fine. Fair. Yes. Maybe I'm like the person who's the Goliath who everyone, what was it? Poor Allison. Everyone was rolling their eyes at her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm having a self-awareness problem in this moment. And I also just told you all about like my body and dating and all that stuff that just got real deep. Brent the Shower Man, come on.
He's the best.
Come on, bro.
He's the best. Look where he was able to take you.
I would say I would identify as a David, and I do love the David personalities more. That's who I would want to hang out with. And that's the tribe I probably would have wanted to be on.
Okay. All right. Let me play you another voicemail message that I got. And if we can try to figure out what's going on here.
Hey, Robbio. It's Jonathan from Sydney. I messed up this season and didn't draft Kelly Wentworth into my top three survivors. She hasn't been a tribal council yet, and it doesn't look like she's going to be voted out at the merge. Are we underestimating her? Can she win? Sneaky, sneaky.
What is Jonathan talking about? Is he calling in from the future here, Kellen? What is he talking about? Or is,
wait, did someone do that? Someone did that. Someone did that.
Is he calling in from the past?
First of all, if you found that.
Hi, Rob. This is Kellen calling from Chicago, first-time caller. So my family does a top 10 survivor pool every year, and not one of us put Kelly Wentworth in the top three. Have we been underestimating her, and does she have a chance to win this whole thing? Sneaky, sneaky.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, as they say, or whatever.
Sneaky, sneaky.
oh yes.
It took me like 10 minutes to figure out what is he talking about? What is he? What is he talking about? Kelly Wentworth? Is this an old email? But he's asking about Kellen. He said, "Hey, Robbio." Like, what does he mean?
Oh, that was so good. Good job. And with the accent. Ooh. Liked it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So good job there, John. That's not the host of Australian Survivor, is it?
Whoa. Wait a second. Is he married?
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Once we get Christian status, then we'll go. Jonathan LaPaglia.
That was him. Like, can you like, you have that on voicemail? Like, is that like caller ID? Can you hook me up?
I have an email address.
That seems sufficient.
Okay. That's how I was able to get a hold of you.
Oh, God. How embarrassing, okay. But fun.
Good. David Baltazar wants to know, Kellen, if you were to leave a voicemail question for the feedback show with Nick Majorana, what would it be?
What is going to come into my head right now? Hey, Nick.
I'll let you say. Okay. You know how to do it.
Hey, Nick. This is Kellen from Survivor.
I'm a little disappointed you're not starting with Hey, Robbio and Nick.
Okay, sorry. Let me try again.
Yeah. Hey, okay, yo, Robbio.
I got you. Good call.
And then please also give Nick a nickname.
Yes. Hey, yo, Robbio, and hey, Nick Mayo Jario. How's it going, guys? Thank you so much for doing the feedback show. I think I was laughing a lot at your jokes, and I think we made plans to hang out later, but I haven't heard from you yet. What's been keeping you busy since then? Hit me up, bro.
Well done. All right. Stay tuned for the feedback show to get the answer from Nick. What do you call him?
Mayo Jario.
That might stick.
It took me a minute. And by a minute, I mean like four tries. But we got this.
Okay. Drew wants to know, did Alec choose his alliance mates because he could think that he would beat them in immunities down the stretch? What do you think about that? Is that too fourth dimensional chess? Did he pick out allies that he felt like, okay, well, who am I going to beat in the immunities?
Maybe. Alec seems like a Survivor superhero to me after this week. I definitely have recency bias. Like, I forget that he was like, you know, I don't remember him doing anything wrong because I just am thinking about this week, but it's possible. And if he did, yeah,
certainly not in the last 7 weeks.
Though, I think he's a little bit outplayed on the puzzle land there. He might be coming in sixth place. So I don't know if that was his reasoning. He didn't think of the full gamut of physical and puzzle challenges. No offense, Alec.
Yeah. I think that was that's a little, you know, putting too much credit there for Alec. Look, and maybe we'll see a secret team. We'll be like, I picked out this alliance because all the people I know I can beat at the end.
For those of us that haven't had a chance to watch all the secret scenes, are there any specific that are sticking out to you, Rob, that we should check out?
I don't always watch every single one of them. That, you know, the good thing is that you could sort of put them on. If you have the all access, you can put them on and they just sort of like run into one another. So I just had them on while I was doing stuff around my office today. So, but there was nothing the one about Christian where you're talking about his anniversary. Christian is so good in, you know, he's like one of these people where you could listen to him, you know, read the phone book, that I feel like he makes every single thing interesting. Even the way that he was just describing the merge, and you know, for me, somebody who's, you know, this is my, you know, 18th season podcasting about the show, you know, it's hard to sort of, you know, describe what's happening in the game for some of the players and make it, you know, sound super compelling and interesting and new. And he has that ability. He really is able to just describe things in such a way. And you were touching on that earlier, where he just makes every single thing he's talking about so fascinating.
He does. And his eye, I mean, I know I already talked about his eyes. Sorry to bring it up again. But like his eyes and his mannerisms, and he is the king of pregnant pause. Like he just has so much control, but yet appears so out of control. And it's just, I think he's a controlled chaos. And so it's so fun to watch because it is chaos, but he's completely in control of it. And it seems like to translate that to the game, it seems like he may be completely in control of his relationships and fate. And somehow he's able to come across as like the, oh, I'm just the dopey guy. Like, and it makes people like him so much, even though they know they are seeing him just like make everyone fall in love with him. And they're seeing him like just kill it at these puzzles. It seems as if he's in control of his relationships as well. So it's going to be super fun to watch him down the stretch here.
David Baltazar wants to know, as the reigning Pyrrha Hapmid champion, who would you want to play against from this season?
Oh, who would I want to play in Pyrrha Hapmid? Like, because I think I could win. Most likely I could beat. That seems not nice, but I'm going to go that direction.
Who would be the most fun?
I think I could beat. At Pyrrha Hapmid. Oh, Oh, sorry, Jessica. Jessica Pete, definitely. I think I could take home that win. And then just, you know, she's young. She hasn't had much life. And then who do I think would be like super fun other than like obviously Christian, but I feel like I have to choose someone else. I'll go with Davey. Yeah.
Davey. Yeah. Davey would
be
good.
Really
he
fun.
Would be good. Would you be afraid to be partners with Napalm Natalie? Would you be afraid that if you got it wrong, that she might not be thrilled with you?
You know, I think Natalie would just whip me right into shape, and I bet she would call me out if I did not do my best. So am I afraid of her? No, I think she would just bring out the best pure rehab mid in me I didn't even know I had.
Okay. Barry Johnson wants to know, what is the better podcast catchphrase, oof or oh man?
Is yours oof and Steven's oh man?
No, Eric Stein's is oof.
Oof. Sorry, Rob. But it is Steven's is oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gotta go with Steven, obviously, because I didn't even know that it was Eric Stein, so that's bad. And I love Steven. Oh my gosh, Steven's takeover of the Survivor CBS Instagram.
Survivor Instagram. Yes.
Okay, see, now I'm torn here because I hear like Tyson's was obviously amazing, but he like stacked the deck, right? Like, talk about a Goliath. He had like freaking Boston Rob. You were there, all the Robs, all the everyone's. But like for Steven, I was just dying laughing. Steven, you probably are not listening 14 and a half hours later, but I loved your Instagram takeover.
Okay. Yeah. There's no chance that he's actually listening to this, but there is a chance that somebody will write on Twitter that, that was really cool that you shouted out Steven Fishback for his Instagram. And then he will see that.
Can someone please tweet that for me? If you tweet that for me, I will donate $5 to your favorite charity. $10, $20.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Let me say, if you tweet out, Kellen loved your Survivor Insta story to Steven, and he replies, you know, he doesn't even have to reply. If you just tweet that, I'll donate $20 to your favorite charity.
What about a favorite on Twitter? If he favorites a tweet but doesn't like it.
As long as he sees it.
Or doesn't respond. Or favorite doesn't reply.
Just as long as I know he has seen it. Yeah, cool.
Okay. All right. That is
$20. Boom. Excluding anything that is like conservative and like for guns or something like that, because then I get to choose to say no.
Right. So we're not going to get into, you know.
I just don't, you know, there are things about people out in this world, politic related.
I understand. It's been
whether or not they don't, I don't want to go back on it. If I don't agree with your charity choice, then I will donate it to Give Kids the World. That will be how's that?
Okay, fine. That's fine. You will have an agreed upon charitable cause. I would like to issue a warning. I'm going to ask Kellen a question about Big Brother, and then I'm going to ask Kellen a question about fantasy football for people that are especially sensitive and don't like to hear about either of the following subjects. So that's just a warning. First is going to be a question about Big Brother, and then is going to be a question about fantasy football. Okay. Kellen, did you keep up with Caitlin after you met her at the Give Kids the World this summer?
Caitlin and I have messaged a few times back and forth. We've given each other book recommendations, and we definitely, you know, like she's one of my people. Like, we believe like what you put out in the world comes back to you. And that girl has taken so much shit on Twitter and all that stuff. And like, I was totally fangirling out meeting the Big Brother people. This was my first season of watching Big Brother. It was so great to meet Caitlin and Winston, both of which have communicated with me since Hearts of Reality. So, you know, it's good. I love Caitlin. I think she's great. I know it seems frou-frou, but I don't know. Put love out in the world, people, and it'll come find you.
Yeah, she's my favorite.
She was your favorite.
So, she was here. She was here recently. We had her on the podcast. She was here in studio.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Isn't she just so cool? And she's such a tiny little teapot and so cute.
No, she's the best. Okay. Now, Kellen is part of the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League. And it has, she's been more of a David.
Am I the worst?
I don't think you're the worst, that you, cause you've actually, you're 3-6. So you have not been as bad as Sarah Lacina, who is 1-8, but, that I don't like that. I feel like that, you know, these, Jeremy and Rodney, I feel like that they really, you know, have been, peppering you with these trade offers. And then, I feel like that they've taken advantage of you and your goodwill.
Isn't that, first of all, isn't that bullshit that like Jeremy and all these people who are like winners, one survivor, now they're going to take all our money. If Jeremy takes my money, I'm going to be like, give me my money back. This isn't fair. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a high stakes league.
It is. Do people know? Did we confess how much idiots we are? How much money we put in this?
I mean, well,
did we confess it?
I mean, I'm hanging in there. I mean, I don't know if that's, public knowledge, but it was a money league. It's a money league.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not peanuts, as my grandpa used to say. And so,
like, no.
First of all, I'm just a sore loser, obviously. Everyone knew that. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
Okay, Jeremy. Okay, I feel like there are some like trades that are not fair. Like, obviously, the one about Sarah Lacina and everything, everybody got all worked up. I had no choice. Yeah. I had to be willing to give up Gronk because all of these.
Do you remember what you traded him for? Just to put it in context.
I'm looking at my team right now. maybe I traded him for LeSean McCoy or Tarik Cohen.
I don't know. The worst trade you made, I think, was probably the recent one where you traded David Johnson for Isaiah Crowell and Jordy Nelson. I think that was probably the worst of that wasn't the worst one you made.
Well, there are possibly worse ones, but that's not it. Okay. No, hold on. That is not the chain. That's not the thing, because I picked up Tarik Cohen for one of these things.
Okay.
And I also got LeSean McCoy for one of these things. I don't remember which one.
Okay. Wait, are you saying that was so that you traded for Gronk and then you traded away Gronk?
No.
That I don't want to bore people with too much of the details.
I did do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just be honest here.
Yes.
I obviously, can you get the bleeper ready? Obviously, do you know what? Doing, and then
yes, but why did you join such a high stakes fantasy football league?
First of all, I love to gamble, so that is fine. I'll do whatever.
I didn't know this about you, and then but you didn't
it's
play
in
at Ghost Island.
Survivor CBS bio, Rob.
Sorry, I didn't memorize it. What are you, Randy Bailey? You get on my case about not reading your bio.
God.
But I actually think that the most interesting move that you made over the course of the season was on Friday, September 28th, that you, for some reason, dropped Joe Mixon, which I was horrified to find out. And then Rodney picked them up off the waiver wire for $21. Why did you do that?
$21 for someone I just let go of?
Well, why you let go of a good person for no reason? He was injured for like 2 weeks.
Maybe he was injured, and I was like, I don't want to keep this guy around.
Yes, the Joe Mixon who had 29.3 fantasy points in week 8.
Oh my god! And then I let him go.
Well, you let him go when he was injured.
First of all, we should have not only given the warning that we're going to talk fantasy football, so people who don't want to hear about fantasy football should leave, but we should have also given a warning of, like, you will be talking to someone who is going to be so stupid and sound like a complete idiot. And I will. You want a little inside baseball or, like, inside football. Proud of myself for knowing that
inside
phrase.
Football.
Thank you very much. Inside baseball in this here. Rodney slides into my DMs about these trades.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, that's why I think that Rodney and Jeremy are the two guys that are like, hey, make this trade with me.
Rodney will be like, oh, you look so cute today. And then he'll be like, oh, can I have these like million point people? I'm like, oh, sure. No, okay, hold on. Let me pull this up. I make him like describe why it's worth it. I don't just like give in because he says I look cute.
Let me bring this back to Survivor. Now, has your perception of how people played in the Survivor Fantasy Football League changed the way that you perceive these people as Survivor players?
I'm like,
interesting.
This is how they do it. Like,
okay.
Just like Jeremy, you know, sweet talking everybody, getting people to do. I'm like, oh, no wonder people lost $1 million to Jeremy. He just gets everybody to do whatever he asks for and makes you feel like kind of stupid. Like if you start to say no, he's like, oh, this is so, oh my gosh. Remember that one morning I woke up and there was like, did you listen to all of those WhatsApp messages?
Yeah. Yeah. That was in Reno. And then and then people were getting mad at me in the WhatsApp group of like, Rob, why haven't you responded to these messages? That was during the whole big controversy over one of the trades should have been vetoed. All right. I don't want to lose people too much. I just wanted to, there's a lot of drama in the Survivor Fantasy Football League.
Yes,
and I just wanted
I'm sorry.
To,
I got too inside baseball.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, we're 2 hours. I feel like that if something is happening 2 hours into a podcast, you can turn it off. You're not going to miss anything this wasn't in the first 10 minutes. All right. So I wanted to talk to my friend Kelton about what was going on in our fantasy football league. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Boo. Boy. Bye. If you don't want to hear this, boy. Bye. Move on. Okay. Anyway, or girl. Bye. But whatever. So let me just wrap this up here. Yeah. I just wanted to find the type of work that Rodney's doing here. I get a message Thursday, October 18th. Fix your fantasy lineup, shithead, with a crazy winky face with the tongue out. And then I say, you are so selfless. And he writes, got your back, boo. So like, that's what it is, right? Like my lineup was a little bit messy one day. And then he like gives me the little nudge like, hey girl, you got some people on bye week, like go ahead. And then he makes me feel vulnerable. And then when he says like, can I have your 2000 point person? I'm like, why? And he's like, cause it's good for you. Just trust me. And then I did it.
Well, that's like Survivor 101. You shouldn't,
anyway, sorry,
shouldn't
people.
Go into that.
Sorry, folks.
Okay.
Sorry, folks.
All right. I'm sorry. If you didn't care for this segment, I'm really sorry that I want to give you the opportunity to please let me know on Twitter that I have my Twitter open, my DMs open to anybody who wants to leave me feedback. My Twitter, of course, is at pineappleboy27, where you can go ahead and leave me all sorts of negative feedback, and I will do my best to I will take it all in, and then I will try to get back to you as quickly as possible. Kellen, so much fun getting to catch up with you. You are such a delight. The Thursday Ooh. Night delight. That should be your new nickname.
I like it.
Yeah. What else do you gamble on?
Oh, like the other day, this guy at work, there was a jacket sitting out on a common table. And this guy was like,
did you say jacket?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I didn't even, ding, ding, ding. I should have got a bump for that. So there was a jacket sitting out on a common area table. And this guy was like, oh, I think that's Corey's jacket. And I was like, Corey's a gal. And I said, there's no way that's Corey's jacket. And he's like, yeah, it is. Like, I've seen her wear it before. And I was like, you want to bet money? And he's like, sure.
And you should see the jackets. I'm sorry. I had to go
there. Yes. Okay. And you bet on if it was somebody's jacket or not.
It was somebody's jacket. Sure shit. It was not Corey's jacket. It was someone else's jacket.
You lost money betting on a jacket.
This was before the Survivor jacket controversy. So, but yeah, I don't know. I like to bet on things like that, like gambling. I'm in a different fantasy football league, which I just talked this new guy at work to take over my work fantasy league. And I said, you don't have to pay me the buy-in, but you just have to split the money if you win with my team. Mm. He took over. Now he's like ranked number one. So
maybe next, here's what's going on. So maybe next season that like on the DL, like you have like a fan who is like sort of a ringer, doesn't work at the ringer. They don't know about football, but somebody who is a ringer. And then that would be somebody who could help you.
Yeah, I think.
Like a coach, not coach Wade. I don't think he knows anything about fantasy football.
I've never had this happen to like pick up waivers and like having to use money and shit, and then there's all these deadlines. Yeah. It's just too hard.
A lot going on. A lot of moving parts. Okay. All right. I think I may have saved my season though. I think I was like, it was really in a tough spot, but hoping to get the 5-5 this
week. I'm sorry I didn't help you.
Sneak into
just
the playoffs.
Go ahead and send me a text message with a winky crazy face, and then maybe I'll give you whoever you want.
Well, no, I don't want to take advantage. I'm not going to say I don't send a million bad trade offers. That's not how I
roll. Did not know that they were bad trade offers, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know. Okay. Kellen, do you have a hashtag for today?
Oh, no. So much pressure. What were we laughing about?
The fan fiction.
Oh, it was definitely full on fan fiction today. It was repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Christian yes. fiction.
Hashtag All right.
Christian fiction. But then I'm now.
Christian fiction, I think, might already be a hashtag. I do
Is
think
it really?
That there might be some. I bet it's probably like a lot of like religious books now.
Oh, I didn't even think of it that way. And then I was thinking like, well, isn't fan fiction already a hashtag?
Yeah, but yeah, okay. So
wait, can we do something?
What do you want to make it?
That was last time.
Yeah, that's fine. You could do Heyo Robbio 2.
Heyo Robbio 2. No.
No, you're out.
Heyo Robbio.
Do you have other ideas?
Nothing that is jumping out at me. The Thursday Night Delight.
Yes. Oh, please. Oh my gosh. Yes. Absolutely. Thursday Night Delight. That is
okay.
Perfect.
There you go. The Thursday Night Delight. Follow Kellen on Twitter. She is at KSBecto, one of the top Twitter accounts that you can find on twitter.com.
KSBECHTO.
Yes. Is that your same on Instagram too, or it's different on Instagram?
Okay. Oh, it's so good. I use it across all handles.
Yes, because you're killing. Do you have more followers on Twitter or Instagram?
I have more followers on
I think you have more on Instagram.
Instagram. But yeah. My Twitter followers have been bumping up since Survivor big time, and my Instagram followers are going down.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, I think people probably used to just follow me to see pictures of Michael Yerger, and then now he's not in my life anymore. And then they all are like, bitch, I'm out.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think that's the case.
I think I just don't always post about Survivor, you know, but like Twitter, I guess I post about Survivor a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's all right. If you're either you're in or you're out on the Thursday Night Delight, it's okay.
Okay. All right. Well, Kellen, look, I hope we could do more stuff. Next time, you want to come back on the feedback show?
I want to come back on whatever. You are the master here, Rob. I am just an honor to be a part of it. And I will say, when you started, like, hey, I'm here. Welcome back to... That's not how you start. Why am I saying you say that? But when you started the opening and you introduced me, and I was just, like, listening to your voice... And you're like, Kellen, who was on Ghost Island, and I was just like, had this moment of so much gratitude of, I still to this moment, like, cannot believe I was on Survivor. And then to be on RHAP and to feel a part of this community, like, thank you so much for including me and letting me be a part of it. It is a total dream come true. It is not, I do not take it for granted. It is not lost on me. So thank you so much. I thoroughly have looked forward to this from the moment you asked. So thank you.
Well, thank you for spending all this time and going through everything and taking notes and taking this so seriously. And I really appreciate it. It's been so fun to go through everything with you. And I can't wait to do it again. Just stop making Rodney and Jeremy's team better.
Okay. I will say
I can't compete. No,
well, and poor Dalton Ross.
Like running on a treadmill here.
Dalton Ross also tried to text me and I said no to him. Here's the even more drama thing. No. Dalton asked me for David Johnson and I told him no. And then later I said yes.
He's very upset also. He's very upset about the bad trade.
I'm sorry, Dalton.
I know. What are you going to do? Very, a lot of competitive personalities. All right. Kellen, thank you so much and all the best. Okay.
You take care, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Kellen Bechtold, lots of fun to catch up with Kellen here on the podcast. Let me thank one of our sponsors, and then I'll talk about what's also coming up here next on the podcast. We want to thank our sponsors over at betonline.ag, the presenting sponsor of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, where I am competing against the other hosts here on Podcast One Network. And right now, heading into the week 10 action, I am in third place right now. I have now passed Shaq after last week, passed Adam Carolla, and now have my sights set on Ross Tucker in second place and Scott Braun in first place. The winner, of course, will be receiving that $5,000 to a charity of my choice. And I will get to pick. It's not like one of these Kellen things where that the person that loses the bet, they have to, they're picking out a charity of their choice. No, I get to pick out the charity. I've said that it's going to be the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. So that's where that money will go when I end up as the winner after week number 17. Of course, let me give you my picks here real quick. For I know Kellen likes to gamble. Maybe she's going to want to get in on some of this. My picks for this weekend here in week number 10. I took the Jets this week. We'll see how they do with Josh McCown at quarterback. I also took the Chargers. They are at the Raiders. I'm taking the Rams. They are hosting the Seahawks. I'm taking the Packers. They are hosting the Dolphins. And my lock of the week are the Chiefs at home hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Did I mention that I've gone 5 out of 5 the last 2 weeks? So you don't get to third place. Something I know a little bit about getting third place. It's second and first. That's the tougher part for me. Last 2 weeks in a row, I've gone 5 for 5. We're reaching the midway point in the NFL and college football season. Each game is more and more important. You got the Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Patriots, all looking good. Steelers looking pretty good after tonight as well. You got the in college football, Alabama, clearly the best team in the country, along with Notre Dame, Clemson, UCF. Looking great too. There's only one place to get in on all that action. BetOnline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code podcast1 to receive a 50% sign up bonus. That's podcast1 for the 50% sign up bonus at BetOnline.ag. In the NBA, Milwaukee, Toronto, and the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors, all starting off on a high note. In the NHL, you got Nashville, Toronto, and Pittsburgh all off to a hot start as well. Don't miss out on any more of the incredible action. BetOnline.ag. Use promo code podcast1 for the 50% sign-up bonus, your online sportsbook experts, and the exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet. That's betonline.ag. You cannot bet on whether Corey's jacket is hers or not, unfortunately. They are not posting odds on that. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up. Nick Majorano, the Mayo of Slamtown, will be with us here in the studio. We will hopefully have a video of that. Nick said that he's going to be dressed very nice for the podcast on Friday. We want to make sure that your voicemail questions are in. If you are one of the first people listening to this podcast, you still have time to get those voicemails in. I'm going to record that podcast around 2 p.m. Eastern time if you're listening to this one on Friday morning. And then on Sunday, we will get to the Wiggle Room and this week's Wand Off. I'm recording it on Sunday. Still probably going to drop it on Monday afternoon. So just make sure if you are planning a Wand Off, you get that in a little bit earlier this week. And then we'll get into everything with News AF and get back to our Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Wednesday night. Big thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who has turned this podcast around. We're recording this a little later in the day on Thursday, so a quick turnaround time on this one. So extra thanks to Scott, who gets these Thursday recap podcasts out to you guys. So thanks again. And of course, thanks to you, the listeners, and of course, the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Can't wait to get into it with Nick Majorano tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.